It's almost time, kids. The clock is ticking. Be in front of your TV sets for the horathon. And remember the big giveaway at 9. Don't miss it. And don't forget to wear your masks. The clock is ticking. It's almost time.
Happy after Halloween.
Live from the 1480 AM studios, KPHX in Phoenix, Arizona, you're listening to Breakthrough Entertainment. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the show. I'm Dave Isaac, alongside Joseph J. Ardo. Greg Isaac.
Can you please
Ardo, sorry.
Can you please say my name right?
Yeah, I didn't. I was thinking of A. Ardo.
No.
How did you used to say it, Greg?
I think you
Here we are
okay,
at
Ardo. Yeah.
Here we
Joseph
are at
J.
Halloween
Ardo.
Special.
There you go, you have it.
Halloween Special 3, and he still can't get my name right.
I got Joseph. I didn't say Joseph. Joseph J. Ardo.
It's like Greg. Been what, like a, more than a year?
No,
you
2 years.
Here?
No, 2 years.
2 years, really?
Greg,
two years. Oh, still can't get your name right.
Yeah, I know. Greg Isaac, Eric Reiner, Trisha, on location, by the way.
And this is Breakthrough Entertainment's Halloween Special.
Whose luggage is that?
Oh,
what?
Whose luggage is that?
That's mine.
Are you planning on going somewhere?
Yeah, I won't even be here maybe for the whole show, maybe not even that.
Yeah. Then why did you even bother coming for our Halloween special?
Lot. You told me to show up.
We've been dressed up.
I know. We've been celebrating Christmas. That's still to come. We've been celebrating Halloween all month long. It has been our Halloween hullabaloo. Yep. And today
is
the culmination of all of our efforts.
It is
our Breakthrough Entertainment's Halloween special.
This thing's still pointing at
me. Well, hold on. Don't spoil the surprises just yet.
All right.
But we're all dressed up here in studio. I know, Greg, you've got this white mask on. Is that Michael Myers?
I'm Michael Myers.
Michael Myers. Take it off for a second. I want to see.
He's ugly.
That is John Cusack makeup.
Oh, yeah, that's
John,
right.
Do you see? Doesn't that look just exactly like John Cusack without the mask on?
Oh, he looks just like John Cusack.
How did you do that?
I'm John Cusack today.
Wow.
He came over, and Joan Cusack came over as well.
Love guys.
Yeah, I was with Joan, just to give you a hint. He was with John.
That's some high fidelity there.
Yeah.
It was HD.
The Con Air.
Stereo.
You know, we had Nicolas Cage
I did
over.
Hear it in stereo from the other room.
Nice. And Dave, what are you...
I'm King David today.
King David, okay.
Yeah, because he had like 400 women.
Okay.
Yeah. Same with John
That's
Cusack.
Right? Didn't
very
he
good.
Have like 400 women?
I don't know. They all did back then, didn't they?
I don't know why. Why is that?
Most
that
of them
was
were
allowed
to
back
each
then.
Because they could afford it.
Yeah, but God obviously favored that. He liked
about
King
God
David.
Well, you know, if you're Muslim, you get 72 virgins.
Yeah, that's if you die or something.
Martyr yourself.
Yeah.
And Eric,
but what if you just die of natural causes? What, do you only get like 30?
No, I think you can get like, you know, and 10 sheep and 14 goats.
Yeah.
I think that's how it works.
There's some people out in Black Canyon City. They've got a couple of those, too. All right, so...
Joseph?
No, I'm not in Black Canyon City.
Well, you're close.
I'm in New River,
right? You're like a mile away, dude.
Oh, no, it's like 10 miles, all right?
So I'm King David.
You're King David.
I got the beard, the crown. I got the Babaramas coming in later.
Oh, excellent. Can't wait. And Eric, what are you... What
of
is
course.
This?
Of course. I'm Superman.
Superman.
You can't see the big red S on the front of my chest?
Well,
you got to put the curl down. Put the curl. All right,
my hair's too short for the curl.
Well, you got to try.
Look at
but
him.
My
he's
big
he's
red
levitating.
Cape, you didn't see that? You don't notice these things?
And he's levitating. He's flying.
I know.
It's
pretty impressive. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah. And Greg's and taking a picture
Greg's
of
taking
me.
Pictures of our costumes.
And what do you see what I've got on?
Yeah,
you have
the pilot.
The pilot's out there, right? It's a pilot's.
Kind of look like Tom Cruise.
No, it's not Tom Cruise.
Denzel Washington.
No, it's I'm Launchpad McQuack.
Yeah. Oh,
like,
yeah.
And I'm Launchpad McQuack.
Okay.
And now, you know, that Frozen, I've got him like a little. Yes.
I think you're on McQuack.
Frozen's got a little mask
and
a purple cape. And he is, of course,
Zorro. Zorro.
Darkwing Duck.
Darkwing Duck, yeah.
I remember that guy.
Frozen and I are going to go trick-or-treating into, bar hopping and everything as Launchpad McQuack and Darkwing Duck.
You're really going to take him twick-a-tweeting?
No, actually, that was a joke. But I am Launchpad McQuack today. And if I were to dress Frozen up, he would be dressed up as Darkwing Duck. But no, this is not my going-out costume. You will have to wait until next week's holiday preview. before you find out what I actually am at the parties.
Ooh, cliffhanger.
Yes.
Can't wait.
Everyone is in my house, every time someone walks in, there's a big thing over my costume. Nobody knows what it is yet.
Are you going to McQuack Bobby?
No.
Why not?
No.
Why not?
Eric just told you to say it in scientific terms, whatever you... That's not...
What's wrong with
McQuack? That's pretty scientific.
Yeah. What's McQuack mean? That means to hug her.
Okay.
By the way, when people come into your house, do you mean your parents? Like, come into your bedroom?
All the women and stuff, you know?
Yes.
You know, all the
hordes of them.
Hordes and hordes of women. Let's say, with hordes with a D. Lots and lots of women.
I doubt that.
What? Gotta break the piggy bank sometimes.
A plethora.
Yeah, he does.
They're a plethora. A plethora. And, you know, I wanted to dress up like the prince from Frozen.
Yeah.
Because I was thinking maybe I, you know, could get me some Elsa action. But, you know, right. I don't know. Ladies, if you're out there dressed as Elsa, I'm saying you gotta watch out. You gotta watch out tonight. I'm going to a big party tonight.
Oh, you are? Where?
I'm not allowed to say tonight. The address is kept secret. But
it's a private
party. It's somewhere
party.
In the Paradise Valley area. And there's going to be like 200 people.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, so if anyone is dressed as Elsa.
Do people ask for your autographs since you're a star?
No, they won't even know it's me because of my costume.
But if they did know you were a star, do you give autographs?
Oh, yeah, of course. Yes, okay. Yes. 602-252-1480. And,
yes, that's
and next
for the
week,
women. You got that mixed up. I was talking autographs.
All right. Well, next week is the Halloween bar crawl next Saturday. So November 1st, the day after Halloween, because nobody wants to go out on Halloween. I would just suggest staying in and watching all the Halloween specials and everything.
Really?
Yes, of course. You don't want to risk it on Halloween. There's black cats everywhere. You know, Your Next is roaming around, my black cat.
That's its name?
Yes.
And that's
we've,
the one that
we've
did
gone
damage
over this.
To the brother?
The brother, yes.
What do you call him for short, like nicknameish?
Like N?
Calm down.
N-
Next?
NY?
No.
NYPD?
YN, I mean?
No,
NYPD.
My black cat's nickname is Calm Down.
Yeah. You said it was Next, though.
No, Your Next is her full name.
Oh, so you call him YN or something.
It's a her.
Oh, it's
keep
she.
Up here. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I remember.
Yes.
Yeah.
But anyway, it is our Halloween special. We've got so much going on today. We've got some information about our Facebook page, some exciting giveaways that we're going to be doing exclusively online through Breakthrough Thinking Broadcasting
Ooh,
Network.
Exciting.
We've got so many surprises. You know, last year, our Halloween special, we had...
Yeah, what happened?
We had a seance, but it was kind of like a silly little seance that I conjured up. And
all my dreams came true.
I know. Well, this
time it's for real.
This time it's for real. We've got someone who's going to be joining us by phone a little bit halfway through this hour, and he's going to tell us he is the Ouija board expert, and he is the chairman of the Ouija board. His name is Robert Merck. We're going to call him Merck for short, and he founded the Talking Board Historical Society, and he's also the chairman of the Ouija board. So he's going to tell us some information about, you know, what that means and the proper techniques, and then we'll take a break, and then we'll go ahead and we'll summon the studio spirits, because as we know from our little coffee episode a few weeks back that Eric told us that someone moved the coffee pot and we were all in the studio here.
Oh, weird things go on in here.
Yes. Yeah, so there has to be some ghosts.
There's some.
This place has been around for a while, so.
Right. Yeah. So we're going to speak with some of them, and we're going to look through the planchette and see if we can find anyone.
So we could tell the listening audience what you have in studio right now?
We have a Ouija board
in
studio.
Whoa.
Yeah?
What's it called?
A Ouija board.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Yeah, how do
that's,
you spell
that's
that?
Only because you've heard it so much that you think that that's the way it's supposed
what
to sound.
What would you call it? Awi? Awaja?
Ohai. Ohai board.
Ouija.
Go ahead, here we go.
Ouija.
Yeah, Ouija.
Ouija
just
board.
The A.
Ouija board.
Well, it's a Ouija, not a Ouija.
I always thought it was Ouija.
Well,
that's because that's what everybody always calls it.
Because people love to squeeze me.
Well, you're like Ouija. A squeegee.
There you go. But, you know, there are certain rules that we're going to have to go by. You know, we can't play in a graveyard. We cannot play it alone. And we always have to say goodbye once we finish the session.
Ouija.
Yes. Very
you
good.
You can't play alone?
Who was that? Was that one of the studios?
That
the studio
ghost.
Spirits?
Wait,
wow.
Eric, he said he can't play alone, but I thought that really is what he does on Saturdays. Doesn't he?
I don't know, Dave, and I don't want to know.
I got
Joseph
pictures.
Went to the Bud Bundy school of play.
Say it in
we
a scientific way.
We're going to post them.
But we're gonna,
are we?
We'll post some pictures.
No,
yeah.
Your pictures.
No, not okay. My pictures.
All right.
No, we'll have a great time with the Ouija board.
The Ouija.
We'll ask it plenty of questions. So you know, we want to make sure
Ouija.
Ouija. Very good. And
what
then
type of questions?
I don't know. We're gonna have we'll think of them. All
oh,
this.
Gosh.
You know?
Were you made by Hasbro?
No, hey, at Parker Brothers. Originally,
oh, I'm sorry.
Brothers.
Were you made by Parker Brothers?
Now it's owned by Hasbro.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What
so I was right.
Parker Brothers.
Well. This one was
business?
Older. This one's older. This is an antique here.
Where did you get that?
It's old.
Oh.
It's a family heirloom.
Looks sort of new.
I found it up in the basement.
Why is the price tag still on?
No. I found... It's not... Come on. I found it in my family's basement. Or not my family.
Attic.
A family's attic. Yeah, sorry. Yeah. In the
yeah.
attic.
Yeah, get it
sorry.
Right.
I was trying to clean it out.
I saw the movie.
All right. Well, of course, we're doing this all in honor of Ouija or Ouija, the movie.
Now
Ouija.
Playing all
Ouija.
Over.
Yes, it came out yesterday, so we're going to review that
review?
Shortly. No, not yet.
Okay.
Because we've got to preview everything else. You know, we've got one of my favorite horror movies of all time
what?
Is The Blair Witch Project.
Oh, I saw that.
We've got the director of The Blair Witch Project joining us.
Oh, you don't have them. I don't believe it.
Eduardo Sanchez. He's got a new movie that just opened yesterday at over there at the Arizona Center. It is called... Exists. It's all about Bigfoot. So it's...
You know what they say about Big Feet?
Well, all right. Yes, okay.
No, really, right?
Here
is
we it, go again.
So what type of movie is this, then? It's
we'll
about
ask,
Big Feet.
We'll ask Eduardo Sanchez all about it. And then we've got Bitsy Tulock from one of the top shows on NBC right now.
Yeah.
Grimm. Supernatural show? Have you ever watched Grimm?
No, I don't watch these.
Well,
movies.
You don't. You're kind of scared. Well, it's not a movie; it's a TV show on
yeah,
NBC.
Yeah, I don't do that either.
But you know Grimm's fairy tales, right?
I do.
Yes.
Yeah.
So a very creepy show. It's on NBC. We'll be speaking with Bitsy Tulock, and
who's
you know
Bitsy Tulock,
an actress on Grimm.
Okay.
And of course, you know we've got several other horror movies to talk about throughout today's show: Cabin Fever 3, Leprechaun Origins. I know that Greg's excited about that.
Mm-hmm.
See No Evil 2, Wrong Turn 6, Annabelle, wow. Stonehurst Asylum, The Town That Dreaded Sundown, The Quiet Ones, The Sacrament, and all show long we will be playing themes from classic horror movies. And of course, the song that brought us into the show is Silver Shamrock from
Ouija
Halloween
Board.
3.
Halloween 3.
Yes.
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 So
okay,
and then it's only 6 more days till Halloween. Halloween,
but
Halloween.
You say to stay in though.
6 more days till Halloween.
I have a party tonight too.
You do a Halloween party?
Yeah,
tonight.
Yeah, it's been planned. I'm not having it, but a friend of ours is, and I'm just debating whether I should go or not.
Do they have to dress up or something?
Of course.
That's what Halloween is.
Oh, is that what it is? So are they going to have good food? This could be the deciding factor.
They usually have food there, yeah. I mean...
Like prime rib, lobster?
No, Halloween parties don't serve prime rib.
Oh, I've been doing it wrong. Darn.
Well, the one I'm going to is a potluck, so I think... Is there
lots of dope?
Oh, you're lucky.
No,
you're
going to
be smoking a lot of dope.
That's what I'm
thinking. Potluck. No.
No, potluck.
I get it. I get it.
Joseph, we have our random drug testing this week.
You can say unlock.
No, I'm bringing a bloody Jello mold.
Is that like a Mary?
Bloody. It's really, well, kind of.
It has alcohol?
No alcohol, but it's got blood in it.
There'll probably be Jello shots at the place I'm going tonight.
Oh,
hey,
actually. Is that good?
Oh, yeah.
Can I go there instead?
Yeah. I thought you didn't drink.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, but he could. That's his way of saying no.
But the women will be drinking.
So. Yeah, but they're probably a little past your age.
Oh,
how old were they?
They're like my age.
Oh, forget it.
Yeah,
forget
but
it.
They're
but
cougars.
They're all you know. There's a lot of I have a lot of very attractive women friends. So.
Yeah, and they could be cougar people. You
18,
could go for a cougar,
18 to 24,
or, a grand cougar
or need
Bobby.
Not apply.
Is Bobby a grand cougar?
She might,
snow leopard. It's
I
called.
Don't know.
What is a snow leopard?
It's after the cougar.
Why do you look taller all of a sudden?
Because I'm sitting up. Because
he just
are you sitting like a kid on your. On your ankles?
Yes.
He just adjusted
the
chair to go
I adjusted
up.
Everything up. Calm down.
Oh.
Calm down.
Everything.
Oh, I'm calling my cat.
He adjusted. I don't know how you can do that.
You're not supposed to be taller than the host.
I only thought Ron Jeremy could do that.
I shouldn't be taller than King David over here.
Wait, you have a cat called Calm Down, too?
I told you that her nickname is Calm Down because she's goofy. She's crazy.
I thought You're Next.
Oh, okay.
Yes,
same
her
one.
Real name is You're Next. Keep up.
Keep up. That's what.
Well,
that's the third name.
Yes. No, that's Dave's nickname. Keep
yes,
up.
Yes.
Because everyone's always saying it to him.
Yeah. I do the bathtub commercials.
Now get your little soundbite there ready. Okay. You ready with it again? Because right now, we are going to review. Come on. Right now,
oh,
we are going
that?
To review.
I had already gone past that, man. Right. I was moving on to something else.
All right, we're going to review Ouija. Ouija.
Ouija. Oh, we are?
Yes.
Okay.
Olivia Cooke, of course, we know her from Bates Motel. Anna Kato, Darren Kagasoff.
Ouija.
Thank you.
Ouija.
Geez.
Welcome back.
That was a different voice.
Go to Las Vegas and do some Ouijas.
That was Phil.
Darren Kagasoff, Bianca Santos, and Douglas Smith play friends who must confront their most terrifying fears when they awaken the dark powers.
Friends without benefits.
Of an ancient spirit board. Of course, is it called a spirit board? A talking
Ouija.
Board?
Yes. A Ouija.
An Ouija or a Ouija.
It's Dave. Depends if it's plural. Yeah, I saw it.
You saw this movie.
I don't know.
You don't like horror movies.
No, I don't.
But you saw this movie. Of course, you saw Insidious 3 previewed beforehand, right?
What?
You walked in late?
No, I was there.
Oh, okay. Did you see the Insidious 3?
Oh, that was disgusting.
Okay. Right. Tiptoe through the window. All right. So Ouija, what did you think of Ouija?
The only thing I could say about this movie is that girl was cute.
Olivia Cooke?
She is cute. One cutie pie.
She, you know, she's even cute when she's got the little things inside of her nose, whatever that. The,
she is really
when she
cute.
Can't breathe on, cause on.
I don't know who
on
she
Bates
is.
Motel.
The, oh the, yeah, the girlfriend
the
of
girl,
his.
The girl, yeah, the one girlfriend.
Norman's girlfriend.
Yeah, because he's got so many. Because he's just a ladies' man. But the one with the thing.
Yeah,
in her
she's
nose.
Got some kind of breathing problem. Yeah.
Breathing, yeah.
She is. She is. Oh, I forgot.
It sounds like a music box. Is a
she was. She is very cute. But other than that, this is a corny, cheesy imitation horror movie that should never have been made except she's cute. And okay. Maybe it should have just been a still moving picture of her for an hour and 29 minutes.
Now, her friend kills herself in the beginning.
She was
or
very
something
cute
happens
too,
to her.
Though.
She is very cute. She's from Days of Our Lives. She plays Stephanie on Days.
Yeah.
She used
let's
to play
get
Stephanie
her on, the
on Days
show.
Of Our Lives.
Or both
I'd
of them.
Like to. I'd like to have
let's
her
do
off
some
the show.
Ouija action with them.
In studio.
Yeah. We could do a Ouija board with them.
In
but
studio,
off
hours.
The truth is I don't like any of those type of movies.
Yeah.
But I did try to keep objective, but I just don't think it was... It was sort of corny, acting, so-so. She was good, though, and she was cute. Oh, I've said that
but
before.
But, Dave, it's Ouija.
No, I don't think it, it... They had one twist that was interesting, but that was it. No,
right.
It's a big thumbs up.
Ouija.
Ouija. It's
except
Ouija.
Except for her, though. She gets a thumbs up.
Oh, the one saying that? Yeah.
No, the girl.
I know. Olivia Cooke. She is very cute. She's very talented as well.
Very. I thought she was a good actress.
You know, there were some
it was
really...
unrealistic. She was so brave. Oh, yeah, right.
Well, there were some really creepy scenes in this movie, especially when they were looking through the planchette. I really like that. When they were, this is the planchette.
Yeah, that
right?
Was is that what it's called?
Yeah, that's the planchette of what you move
how do you
along
know all
the Ouija
these
board because I watched the movie.
Oh, and, I did too, though.
All right. Well, so, they said it a million times.
I'm looking at a picture of Olivia Cooke right now with her head shaved. What's up with that?
I have no
idea.
Oh,
does she? How's she look? By
not
way?
Good.
Oh,
women don't look good with their head shaved.
No, you need hair.
Oh,
yes. So. But yeah, really, really creepy scenes a few times. I really like the very end of this movie. But Ouija could have just been just as easily been titled Generic Ghost Movie Number 890.
Exactly my point.
Yeah, well, the spirit board, here's my problem with the movie. The spirit board is merely a placeholder in a formula that has been that has used everything from music boxes to dolls as the novelty that holds everything together. This could have been any other thing, and then it wouldn't have been Ouija. You
right.
know? And, you know, so, but then Hasbro wouldn't be selling any board games.
Are they selling?
I imagine.
They keep selling them. I mean, they keep making them.
Yeah. So, so you've got to, like, continue to do tie-ins and stuff like that. So, along that line, but this could have been any other item, any other object, and they could have just inserted it just as easily. It could have been a magnifying glass that they could see the spirits through, and it would just have been the same exact movie. The pace is deathly slow. Deathly, deathly slow. The movie is only 83 minutes long. That includes credits at the end. And the dialogue is downright ghastly, and the scares are almost non-existent, except for, like I said, a couple of times when they're looking through the planchette and at the very end, you know, when everything's coming together. The worst of all, though, is the fact that this film suddenly rushes through its final act as though even writer-director Stiles White and co-writer Juliet Snowden became bored with the story and decided to quickly skip to the end. Didn't you realize that throughout the third act, everything's going slow, and then all of a sudden, this third act, we meet the young girl's sister,
yeah,
right, in the wheelchair in the psychiatric hospital,
yeah,
and suddenly the movie like picks up and it's going from scene to scene to scene just to get to the end. So we sit there for an hour and nothing happens, and then the last 15, 20 minutes, we get two-minute scene, you know, rushing through to the end. Thumbs down.
No doubt. A big thumbs down, and I don't know if it... I think, yeah, it wasn't a good movie, but I just don't like these type of movies anyway. No redeeming value. Is there, Eric? On scary movies?
Well, you know what? I'm not a big fan of the cheesy ones. I just, you know, Kathleen tries to get me to watch those things, and I never like them.
But I love horror movies. I mean, Jeepers Creepers, I love. I know you don't like Jeepers Creepers
no.
that much. I love Jeepers Creepers. Mm. I love the Saw movies.
I didn't understand the point of Jeepers Creepers. There's absolutely zero point to that movie.
No, it's creepy. That's the point.
No, it wasn't.
The creeper is going to take your eyes.
And what is he? What is the creeper?
He flies. We've got to wait till part three. He is an ancient demon. Part three.
Wonderful.
It's in pre-production. Cathedral.
I'm sure I'll just be really thrilled when I watch it.
The best one is 1408 with John Cusack.
That was good.
There you go. Yeah. Well,
I didn't really quite understand all of it, but it was definitely a good movie.
Yeah.
So there are good horror movies out there.
But yeah, like The Sixth Sense.
I didn't like that one at all.
I guessed the ending on that one before it even...
You did?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and that was bored.
Wow, that's pretty good.
I felt asleep.
He's not... You know, that was his best movie. What's his name? M. Night Shyamalan.
Who?
Shyamalan Ding Dong.
Bruce Willis.
No, the guy who made the movie.
M. Night Shyamalan.
But, I mean, he's never made a good movie.
Oh.
That was his best one.
That was a pretty good one. Yeah.
I didn't care for that one.
Okay.
Did you like any of his other ones?
Yeah. What was the one that came out? Not
Unwatchable?
Not that one. Not that much. Not The Village.
The Village was awful.
Oh, The Village People.
I actually liked The Happening.
Did I see that one? I don't remember.
Yeah.
I could watch it, but it was tough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I don't know. Well, there are a lot of horror movies that we're going to talk about today, so hopefully we'll find at least one, if not two, good ones for you to enjoy this Halloween. Of course, it's October 25th.
Was that the one with Mel Gibson?
Hold on a second. Now I'm getting...
No, The Happening was with Mark Wahlberg and Zooey Deschanel, and I think Mark Wahlberg said he regretted making it or something like that.
I'm sure everybody regrets making an M. Night Shyamalan Ding Dong movie.
Yes. Shaka
la waka. I can think of a few women who regret making a Shyamalan Ding Dong movie.
Oh, God.
I don't know, as long as they were paid.
All right.
do make top dollar now.
Yes, that's true. On that note, let's
play on the bottom.
Not like the 70s.
Play the first song in our horror movie themes for today's Breakthrough Entertainment's Halloween special. And this is, of course,
Twilight Zone.
The original Halloween.
From Halloween.
And guess who wrote it?
John Carpenter. Oh, John Carpenter?
Yes.
Thought he was a writer.
One of the few horror movies to receive 4 stars from the mainstream media.
Oh, yeah, wow.
I loved H2O. How about you?
It was okay. The original was by far.
H2O is my favorite.
It's too short.
Is that water?
Is that a zombie movie?
I like water.
Was that Rob?
Halloween? No, not the Rob zombie movies. Those were bad.
Josh Hartnett, Michelle Williams.
Halloween H2O, 20 years later.
Yeah. I don't think I've seen it.
Ooh.
All right, so this is Breakthrough Entertainment, the Halloween special. Is this what it's called today?
Yeah.
Halloween special. That's what I thought. And
yes, keep up.
That's Joseph's line. 1480 AM, KPHX in Phoenix, Arizona. We'll be right back.
This is 1480 KPHX, Phoenix.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is 1480 AM KPHX AM. I said that already.
Yes.
This is the Halloween special from Breakthrough Entertainment. And alongside of me, I have, say your name.
I'm Dave Isaac. I see Joseph J. Erdo right there.
Joseph. And who is this other guy?
Greg.
Yes. Greg Isaac.
Yes.
Eric Reinhardt in studio, of course. Tricia on assignment. And Joseph J's head is spinning around as green stuff is coming out of his mouth.
Pea soup.
Oh, is that pea soup? I used to like pea soup.
We just painted the studio for
How could you do that?
If you would have painted it green, you wouldn't have had a problem.
You sound like a Brooklyn guy now.
So he had like a Jewish zombie opening it, and now we have this tough Italian Brooklyn guy.
We're going to do just a seance. We're going to actually do a circumcision here today.
What?
A brisk. Yeah.
A birth. I mean a brick. What do you call it?
Brith?
A brisk.
A brisk. We're going to do a brisket.
All right.
Or that's what it'll be afterwards.
This is, of course, the theme for The Exorcist.
Yes, we're going to do a brisk and a seance. I sound like Joey.
Why didn't you start the show like that? It's great.
It is? I didn't do that. That's who is that, Herman?
I don't know.
That's Mark Weisowitz.
I can only see him through the planchette.
Oh, that sounds vulgar. Hey, it's pointed.
Tubular bells.
Let's point it.
All right.
So anyway. Well,
yes.
All right. Yes. So we'll hear from these characters later. They came in just to celebrate. Sort of like little leprechauns, right?
Yeah. They'll be here throughout the show. We can only view them through the planchette, but people can hear them over the microphone.
Oh, the microphone.
Some people are listening through the internet. I'm getting texts. Ooh. My colleague Stan Robinson over at the Entertainer magazine
says
that he loved Ouija. He says it takes a lot for. It's been a while since he's been unnerved by a horror movie. It's been since Cabin in the Woods, but he actually liked that one. I'm getting other texts from listeners saying that they love the horror movie genre and so they cannot wait to hear the other movies that we will be talking about.
You got a lot of
throughout
them
today's show. I know.
Wow.
I know. So it should be an excellent show. Yeah, I love Halloween. I do have my my other Halloween costume all picked out. I made it. I've been making it for like the last month.
So you sew?
No. That's when you know when I said that to someone else and they said, "Oh, so you sew. That's great." And I said, "No, I don't sew. I'm crafty. I'm clever."
But you
creative.
Don't sew.
No, I don't. No, sew, I don't sew.
Well, how do you then make a thing without sewing it?
Because you can make it with other things. But, you know, of course, we just reviewed Ouija, or as Eric likes to say.
Ouija. This
Ouija.
Guy will tell you.
All right, Ouija. Well, then we're going to find out exactly how to say it for sure and some information about it before doing our seance. We have on Chairman of the Ouija Board, or Chairman of the Ouija Board, Robert Merck. He's founded the Talking Board Historical Society. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Oh, it's a pleasure to have you on. Thank you for helping us celebrate Halloween. So let's get the record straight. Is it Ouija or Ouija?
Well, in 1890, when it was first named, it was pronounced Ouija. But by the 1920s, so many people were saying that when they played, they were Ouija-ing. That it became Ouija. So whether you call it Ouija or Ouija, the same thing.
Didn't I say it was because you heard it that way so many times?
Yes. But see, I didn't know that Ouija-ing was like a verb. I didn't know you could Ouija.
I used to Ouija all the time.
It's like Googling.
It is like Googling. It's just different in the old days. Yeah.
Wow.
I Ouija'd in the car, in the back seat. I Ouija'd on the beach even.
I Ouija'd my windshield.
Oh, I'm so sorry. You got to get a new windshield.
Yeah.
I know. So Merck, you know, tell us a little bit about the Talking Board Historical Society. Why did you founded it, right?
Right. So, you know, basically what I found was 20 years ago when I started that the history of Ouija and Talking Board was just almost non-existent, and what was there turned out to be completely not true. Over those 20 years, working with other collectors, historians, the National Archives, White House, Library of Congress, all of these people helped kind of rewrite this history. And, you know, it just became apparent that we needed kind of a dedicated group of people to make sure that the history we're finding doesn't disappear again and, you know, to kind of keep everything on track. And so decided to found it and, we're going to do some really neat things with it.
Wow! And I know that you've done a lot of work with filmmakers. And did you have any involvement in the new movie?
I did. I started consulting with Bennett Schneer, who was is a producer on the movie, and he was the head of Hasbro Entertainment at the time. So, back in 2009, I came home from a party, and on MTV they were replaying an interview with. Brian Goldner, the head of Hasbro, talking about how Ouija was just this kind of missed opportunity, that there was so much power in the brand everyone knew what it was, but the company, Hasbro, really hadn't done anything with it. And he saw a movie in the future. And so I wrote him immediately, and he put me in touch with Bennett Schneer, the head of Hasbro Entertainment, who was the head of Hasbro's involvement in the movie. And we talked for all of, over these years and through the many incarnations of scripts, what and how did people see Ouija? And how could you make a movie about a board game that had this type of kind of reputation? And so I kind of worked on it right up until production, and then they just kind of filled me in as they were going. So it was really cool to be part of that.
Wow, absolutely. And some other movies that you've collaborated on include What Lies Beneath. I know that, Dave, you know What Lies Beneath.
No, I don't. What?
Yeah.
You know, all right. And then I'm Sugar and Spice. I remember that movie. That was a great movie. And then several different TV programs featuring Ouija, 30-odd minutes, Storage Wars, Paranormal State. I mean, there's just so much that you're involved in. And, you know, what is the most interesting thing that you have found about talking boards, spirit boards, since you started looking into them?
Well, the most interesting thing is how we've been able to pull up this history and rewrite it is through descendants of the people who were originally there. So the first part in any kind of history lesson is you kind of go back to the beginning and find out who was there, who was around. And then you track down the genealogy and you find who's a living descendant. And one of the most interesting stories we found was 2 years ago when we found that there was a woman who was involved in the inception of the Ouija board. That before that, we knew the Ouija board had lots of fathers, and we didn't know it had a mother. And it turns out she was directly responsible for naming the board and for getting it patented. So without this woman who'd been lost to history, we wouldn't even be talking about it today.
So, Robert, let me ask you a question.
Sure.
And the second part of this, I want to, so I don't forget, it looks like you own over 500 different talking boards. But before we get to that, how did this all start out? I mean, what was the purpose of the Ouija board? Can you also talk about the myths and the truths about the Ouija board? What's accurate? What's not accurate? What's the perception right now? But what really is the purpose of the Ouija board?
Sure. So, you know, just for your listeners, Ouija is a trademark, a brand that's today owned by Hasbro and has been in use since 1890. And it is a talking board. Talking boards are the class of these games, and a talking board is as simple as something that's flat, has letters and numbers on it, yes and no, goodbye, other words, symbols, and it has a movable pointer or a piece on it that we call a planchette.
Sort of like a crystal ball type of situation?
Well, it's similar. You can ask questions to it. The difference is this is a collaborative thing. So Ouija was always meant to be played by multiple people as a method of entertainment. So people would place their fingers on this movable piece or planchette, ask a question, and that movable piece would begin to move, land on letters or words, thereby spelling out some communication. And talking boards start, and we first hear about them, in 1886. And there's a story that gets picked up by the New York Tribune that then gets picked up by the Associated Press, spreads all over the world about the new planchette, the talking board, greatly agitating Ohio. And what happens is these devices, these alphabet-pointing devices, which were made to make contact with spirits and were kind of born out of the spiritualist movement, leak out of spiritualist into pop culture. So because of that article, mainstream people start making these talking boards, and they get kind of so big, as every fad does immediately, that a company from Massachusetts actually sends one that they call a witch board in 1886 to President Grover Cleveland as a wedding gift. And it seems a bit of a joke, you know, this president gets married, his friend in Massachusetts sends him it, and the letter is posted in the Boston Globe. So there's a bit of a tension going on here, some publicity, saying that, you know, you're a new president, you've gotten married, you could probably use this. And President Grover Cleveland writes back and says, you know, thank you so much, this is a great gift to show your friendship, but I don't think I'll be, you know, testing out its powers of past, present, future anytime soon. So we know that this talking board, a witch board, makes it to the White House in 1886. And then in 1890, Charles Kennard, who claims to have invented it, along with Elijah Bond, who he has patented the Ouija board, and Helen Peters, the woman who helps name it, and is considered a strong medium, they sit down one night in Baltimore in April of 1890 and ask the board what it wants to be called. And it spells out O-U-I-J-A. And when they ask what that means, it answers, good luck. And so Ouija, the Egyptian luck board, is born.
Wow.
That is amazing. Now, some of the myths. I last played this, my only time I played it, I think I was 16 years old. And I didn't know the myth that it was, well, the perception after this movie, I guess, or even before, is it all negative stuff? But when I played it, it was positive stuff. It was just sort of fun entertainment. It was just things about, you know, it could be goofy answers. It could be interesting answers.
Does
it could
she
be,
like me?
Yeah. So, I mean, right. is the was this purpose pure in nature, or was it on the evil side, sort of like the movie, sort of, you know, sort of the theme of the movie, or is it just fun entertainment? And is there any truth to this, or is it the unconscious mind that's moving everything?
Well, so we'll start with that, right? How does the Ouija or any talking board work? And scientists believe it's something called ideomotor response, which is that you have a subconscious and a conscious, and your brain can't deal with all of the stimuli coming at it all the time. So your conscious mind weeds out what's important and really makes you focus on what you're saying as opposed to all the different colors you're wearing and everything that's happening. But scientists believe that all of those details, they really go into your brain and can get access through things like hypnosis. And when you play a talking board, you combine that with we're made of muscles and they don't want to stay still. And you can see that. People are very fidgety and, you know, you're leaning from side to side. And you look at some people's hands, they shake a little bit more than others. And so when you're at a talking board and you ask a question, because we believe it might work and we want it to answer, scientists believe that those small jerky movements in your hand become fluid and they allow your subconscious mind to answer the questions unbeknownst to you. So you don't think you're moving it. You don't believe you're moving it. But scientists believe you are.
So it's not like evil spirits moving it. Do you believe that, or do you believe the unconscious mind?
Well, that's what scientists believe, right? Then there are people who believe that you are making contact with something else.
What do you believe?
Not you. Well, I think that if you can make contact with the other side, then it makes sense that a talking board would work. It's very simple, right? Who wouldn't know how to make this work? The real question is, can you make contact with the other side? And what happens after you die? And that's a question we haven't answered ever.
Except John Edwards knows that. I think he has a TV. But so you don't. So it's not necessarily evil. It's just if it is true that it's contact to the other side, that could be positive as well. I mean, it's not necessarily evil.
Right. And okay. The movie explores that very thing. But the board itself is just a tool. It's the telephone you decided to pick up. What you contact. I mean, we all played this game when we were little. We crank call people before you could star 69 them and find out who they were. You know, we used to call people. And sometimes you'd get funny people who would play with you, and other times you got people who taught you new words, as they would swear at you. So, you know, you never know what you're going to get. And I think that's where the fear and what makes playing the Ouija board so intriguing is that you're trying to contact something good. What if you got a cranky spirit? What if you got something that was demonic?
I want to get Marilyn Monroe today. That's what I want.
Well, we're going to see.
I think a lot of people would.
We're going to see who we can get here in the studio. Mark, would you mind holding on the line with us during this next break and helping us in seeing if we can summon some spirits here?
Of course.
Okay. All right. So just hold on the line. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to play a song. Of course, this is Poltergeist, the theme from Poltergeist.
I did see that movie.
Yes. And we're going to be right back with Merck, chairman of the Ouija board, to Talking Board Society. We're going to see if we can summon some studio spirits. We know that there's plenty of them. So stay with us.
And we will be right back. This is Breakthrough Entertainment Live, 1480 AM KPHX in Phoenix.
We'll be right back.
La 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 la
This is 1480 KPHX, Phoenix.
Welcome back. This is Breakthrough Entertainment Live Halloween Special, and we're on 1480 AM KPHX in Phoenix, Arizona. And let me introduce you to the host, Dave Isaac.
Hello, everyone. This is Dave Isaac, alongside Joseph J. Erdo, Greg Isaac, Eric Reiner, Trisha's on location. And we're about to do a little seance, and we have a special guest, don't we?
Yes, we've got Chairman of the Ouija Board, Robert Merck. The Talking Board Historical Society joining us on the phone.
We just what song is this?
Oh, I'm sorry. Thank you for... Yeah, I forgot. This is Pan's Labyrinth.
Do I have to take control now?
No, you don't.
Yes,
I'm
you
just,
do.
I'm just...
Yes.
I think the demons are going to take control. This is the theme from Pan's Labyrinth. Very, very creepy. Creepy movie, right?
Yeah, I like that movie.
Eric,
yeah,
can you come in here too? Or you have to be there?
I've got to kind of control things from here.
He's got to control.
That's why this is called the control room.
Yes.
I knew it.
The control. See,
I am
now,
not a crook.
So, Merck, my first question for you is, we're going to circle the board for the number of players. Do we count you and Eric in, even though your hands are not on the planchette?
Yeah, we're part of it. So
all right.
Excellent.
All right. So first of all, I'm going to remind our listeners of the rules. You're going to never play alone. You never play in a graveyard. Ooh, that's nice. Thanks, Eric. Always say goodbye at the end of each session, okay? So those are the rules. And can you think of any other...
It's a TV, Dave.
Yes. Calm down, Dave. He thinks he already
sees spirits. He's flashing lights out there.
I see dead people.
So, Merck, any other ground rules right now?
Well, you know, so those, what we call those are Ouija-stitions, right? Okay. Those are rules that have grown up. They were not original to the game, but they have been kind of homegrown. Another one people say is don't take your hands off the board until you say goodbye.
Okay.
Ooh,
right.
I've heard
so
that.
We're not going to take our hands off of there. So now we're going to put our hands on there. You put two fingers, right?
Is it okay to be on the point of the thing?
Yeah.
You can put your hands anywhere on it.
Okay.
Does it need to be dark in there?
Yeah, does it need to be dark?
Is it better if it's dark?
It sets the mood if it's dim.
Oh, my God, it's dark in here.
There you go.
Hey, I see you.
We can see.
I see Eric like
now you can
clearly.
Well, that's what Eric looks like.
Oh, I like this.
So, I'm going to read. Go ahead.
The other rule is no roaming hands. So if you only use one hand on there, everyone has to keep their hand to themselves.
Yes. Yeah. Okay.
Dave's been talking about that all morning.
I know, Dave.
I have my hand, other hand. What do I do with it?
I'm using my left hand. The others are using
their
right.
Let's ask the Ouija board. What do I do with my other hand?
Let's circle the board. We got to circle it five times. Ready?
Okay. Ready? Go. I want to go this way.
All right. One.
I led the
two, three, four, five.
All right. Now, as friends we've gathered, hearts are true. Spirits near, we call to you. Merck, I'm going to ask you to take over now if you want to ask our spirits anything.
All right. So we'll ask a question is, can you tell us the middle name of someone who's playing right now?
Oh, that's amazing.
All right. Can you tell us the name of someone who's playing right now?
And it's starting to move. I think Joseph's moving it.
I'm not moving it at all.
I'm not moving it.
Well, that's not
Greg,
even
are you
a direction.
Moving it?
That,
no. I'm like,
what is that?
What's that?
Barely
what is it? What's the letter?
J?
J.
J.
Okay. What?
Come back over
what,
here.
It's
okay. Moving to the other
it's
side.
Going to O? Okay.
Towards the beginning.
Is anyone with a J-O?
Yeah, the one moving it.
I'm not moving it. That's,
I'm not
but my,
moving
my
it.
Middle name is John.
Oh, is it really?
Are you serious? That just went to the H, and I'm not even...
I'm not kidding. I'm not moving this.
I was not moving
my
that.
My left hand has nothing to do. It's terrified.
All right. Well, that's a little scary. All right, so clearly it's spelled out John.
Oh, no. It's
Joseph's about to be in tears
all right,
in here.
So
he's pretty scared.
Merck, ask the spirit another question, please.
Okay. Is anyone playing... left-handed.
It's moving. It's moving.
It says yes.
Yes.
And yes, Greg is playing left-handed.
I am left-handed, yes.
Oh,
okay,
no wonder.
That's weird. That's
really
weird.
Yeah. I use my right hand for most things.
Merc, I think we're ready for another question.
Oh, this is scary.
All right, so let's see if we can get it to spell out the month of someone's birthday.
Oh. Spell out?
Yeah, yeah, I don't know. Will that take longer than 4 minutes?
Well, okay, well, maybe we'll
do starts with
a month.
Depends on
and a
what
number.
Month.
Okay, it just went to O.
It went to
and,
O?
And there's only 1 month with O, and that's October.
Do we have an October birthday?
Do we have
birthday?
An October birthday
yes,
in here?
Yes, we do.
Whose birthday is that?
Mine.
That's Dave's birthday.
Oh, wow. There we go.
Wow, you're good at this.
All right. All right. Now, you guys got to play one. Let's see where you guys come up with.
What?
What's the name of one of my dogs?
What's the name of one of Eric's dogs?
Okay, here we go. It's moving. It's slow.
Oh. Does it start with an R?
Reinhardt. Yeah, see the dog's last name?
Yeah, that's
a Reinhardt.
Yeah, Rob Reinhardt.
Phil Reinhardt.
It worked.
All right, well, do you have anything else to... Can we think of any other final questions to ask our spirit?
What did you think of the new Leprechaun film?
Oh, wait, I think that
Oh, it's moving. Where is it going?
Why is it going to the A on Ouija? That's weird.
Yeah, what does that mean if it goes to the Ouija?
That's weird. That's weird.
I don't know. It means it wants you to go see the Ouija film, not the Leprechaun film.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, that's true.
It's self-promoting.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Well, I think now when we close out, we just go to goodbye, right?
Exactly.
All right. Here we go.
So,
and then do we say anything?
Goodbye.
Just goodbye.
Oh, goodbye.
Oh, I broke contact. Goodbye.
All right.
Now
goodbye.
I'm back.
Now, no, everyone can touch, remove their hands now.
Oh. We remove our hands.
Yes.
Wow, that was pretty accurate.
You know, especially.
Yeah, and I had no idea that's what the J stood for. And I am wondering who that guy is with Eric in the room standing behind
him. Yeah, I know. I can only see him.
I wish he'd leave me alone for God's
sake.
Well, of course.
This is an old studio.
Well, we want to thank Chairman of the Ouija Board, Robert Merc, with the Talking Board Historical Society so much for joining us. Everyone go in and check out his websites, robertmerc.com, williamfold.com, talkingboards.com. Thank you so much, Merc.
All right, thank you so much.
And
thank
this,
you. Thanks a lot, Robert.
And this, of course, is the theme for The Omen.
Oh, that. Now, I did see that, too. And that was good. And this is Breakthrough Entertainment Live, 1480 AM KPHX in Phoenix, Arizona.
This is 1480 KPHX, Phoenix.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, this is Breakthrough Entertainment on the Halloween special on KPHX 1480.
Hello.
Hello. And we got in studio very talented broadcasters, hosts, and you name them. And let's have them introduce each other or themselves.
There's Dave Isaac.
Hello.
Oh, this is Dave Isaac alongside Joseph J. Erdo. Now we know what the J stands for. It's John.
It's John.
Greg Isaac in studio. Eric Reinert.
John Cusa.
Who has two dogs named Zelda and Gilda.
Zena and Bella.
Zena
but by the way,
Bella.
Kathleen
Bella.
Called to tell me that, you know, maybe the R thing was correct because the dog's name is actually Bella Rue.
Bella
really?
Rue.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
we got it. Excellent.
Really? Reinert.
Yeah,
this
is, of course,
that.
Breakthrough Entertainment's Halloween special, and that song that brought us into this hour is from Psycho. That's the shower scene. Let's talk about a few other movies that are opening. They're not are opening, but they're already available on video on demand, on DVD as well. But before we get to that, I want to remind our listeners, go to breakradioshow.com, click on the big F, okay? And there's a couple of contests that are going on our Facebook page. Of course, one of them is Before I Go to Sleep, starring Nicole Kidman. And the other movie is, of course,
like
Nightcrawler.
Nightcrawler.
Starring
Jake Gyllenhaal.
Jake Gyllenhaal from
Bumble Boy.
Opens
on Halloween.
Yeah. Yes. Both of them open on Halloween, but you can see him before anyone else. VIP seats before anyone else. There's several ways that you can enter on the Facebook page. You can subscribe to our audio alerts. Like us on Facebook. And, of course, the biggie is you can earn 3 points, exponentially increasing your chances of winning.
Yeah.
All by telling us what the word of the week is. And today's word of the week.
Sorry.
Let's do Roo.
R-O-O.
R-O-O. Today's word of the week is R-O-O, all in honor of Eric's dog's middle name.
Bellaroo.
Bellaroo. So, and if you want, you can do the whole name, Bellaroo, but, you know, the one that counts is Roo, R-O-O, and that will exponentially increase your chances of winning.
Wait, because I was playing with myself, the Ouija board myself, on the break, does that mean I'm a goner?
I think so. That's what the movie basically says, is that and that's one of the rules. You shouldn't play the Ouija board by yourself.
Wow.
And
okay.
So exciting stuff. But also, I want to make sure our listeners listen to us next week.
Yes.
Now, it's going to be you and me in studio, right?
Unless I'm dead.
Well, maybe. It might just be me. And because you're not going to be here, right, Dave?
In spirit.
Well,
the Ouija board.
It is our holiday preview.
Yeah.
And it's got a second name, which you'll find out next week. It's really exciting. I'm keeping that a secret. But the thing is here, we've got a really exciting announcement. One of our biggest contests to date will be live on the Facebook. So you can get a sneak peek of that by stay tuned to our Facebook page. Again, breakradioshow.com. Click on the big F.
Yes.
And you will get it around Wednesday or something like that. There'll be a big announcement regarding a contest, and then we will formally announce it on next Saturday's show. And it's an ongoing contest that will last for a few weeks.
Sure.
That you can earn several points for this very big prize.
Yeah.
So I'll let you know what it is during the break.
It's a chance to spend time with Michael Myers when he's not, you know, when he's not doing his business on Halloween. His business is killing.
Yes.
He's a great murderer. He's actually he's a really pleasant guy. I mean, he works a regular 9-to-5 job. And,
I don't know. You know what?
He doesn't. Fellow. He's a rabbi.
I try to do get some conversations going with him. He wouldn't. He was a very quiet guy.
He's a man of few words. He's very mute at times, but a very pleasant individual. Until it gets to October 31st, he always looks for Jamie Lee Curtis or people that look like her, or even Scout Taylor Compton.
Right. Well, as long as they're not shaving themselves and then getting like a big hunk of flesh. When they're shaving their legs, when a big hunk of flesh comes off.
I don't know if he shaves his legs.
You don't know? How about them people that like pancakes? Pancakes.
He does enjoy his pancakes.
Yeah. Cabin Fever 3, of course, I'm trying to segue into.
Oh, I haven't seen.
Well, the original Cabin Fever with the shaving legs.
It was. Okay.
Yes.
It's been a while since
pancakes.
I've seen it.
Yeah. Well, they are remaking the movie. Eli Roth is producing a remake of the movie, basically remaking it using his script.
You know, I thought Eli Roth was the one that made it the first time.
He did, but he is producing a remake, someone else's vision of his script.
Wow, it was only in 2002. I mean, the first Cabin Fever was great, don't get me wrong, but wow, it's quick.
Well, because of course Cabin Fever 2 came out. Mm-hmm. Did you ever see that one?
No, I've only seen the first.
I did. It was absolutely horrible.
Yeah,
absolutely horrible. The first one is one of my favorite horror movies of all time. Eric?
It's a good movie.
You like the first
Cabin
one?
Fever?
Yes.
I saw it. I know I saw it, and I don't really remember what it was like. Some kind of disease, or something?
Yeah, it was like a disease. It was great because it wasn't a monster.
Right,
it was all disease. It was like something in their minds, and it wasn't even like a zombie disease. It was just inside their minds, and they would pull their skin off, and that was scary, and of course, very, very gory. But, of course, other filmmakers have come along and made Cabin Fever 2 and Cabin Fever 3. Patient Zero is what this one's called, and it's available on video on demand and DVD. And they've made it into a zombie movie, kind of.
Oh, interesting.
So when a group of friends enjoying a bachelor cruise in...
Too many zombie movies.
I know. In the Caribbean, stumble upon a research facility on a remote island, a deadly virus is unleashed. The group must find a way to survive before the flesh-eating virus consumes them all. You're laughing, I assume that you see the star of Cabin Fever.
Yeah. What's Special Agent Oso, Mr. Sean Astin, doing in this stuff?
Sean Astin, of
he's
course.
He's too good for
he's
it.
Been
yeah,
on our
he's
show before.
Perfect for that kind of movie.
He's been on our show before. He's great.
I bet he has like one scene and they just put his name on there. Why is he even in this? He's too
his
good for it.
His father's a great guy.
The Addams Family fellow.
Yeah. Dad. What was the dad's name?
John, right?
John asked him, but what was his name on the Addams Family?
Oh, Gomez?
Gomez,
yeah. Gomez.
Yeah, yeah. So, but, yeah, he's not in the movie that much.
Yeah.
It's mostly these friends that are enjoying mm-hmm. their little vacation. They stumble upon this facility. He's in the facility because he is patient zero or whatever. I don't know what this movie was about. It was just all over the place. Now Dave is taking control of Greg's technology.
And I need it right computer. Now for this conversation, he's taking it anyways.
Yeah. I'll go ahead. I'll do it after the break.
Yeah, do it on a break.
Thumbs down. Thumbs down for Cabin Fever, like Patient Zero. I really am looking forward to the remake of the original Cabin Fever because, again, that was a true classic movie.
It is, and Eli Roth is great. Around the time when the original Cabin Fever came out in 2002, I remember another horror movie, Wrong Turn, came out in that time. 2003, a year after, but Eliza Dushku was in that, and it was a good cast, and that was another one. It's kind of like, wow, you know, the horror genre, they did a good job there, and then they make all these sequels.
Well, since you brought it up, let's talk about Wrong Turn 6, Last Resort. It's available on video on demand and DVD. Yes, there has been six so far.
I saw the first one, I maybe even the second one, but I didn't know there was that many.
The first one was truly excellent. Eliza Dushku was excellent in the movie. I remember when they were up in that little treehouse or whatever.
Oh, it was great.
That was frightening.
Is that the one where they're at the rest stop?
There's another movie called Rest Stop.
That's Rest Stop.
Yeah, that was it.
And then Bathroom Break is one of my favorites.
Yeah, but...
That one's only like 15 minutes long.
Oh, the one with Minnesota Senator?
Well, Rest Stop has got, like, isn't it like a trucker or something like that?
It was like a...
Hillbillies?
It was a Winnebago or something full of crazy people.
Oh, okay. Well, this one's...
Joey Lawrence was in it.
Wrong Turn has got... like hillbilly, you know, mountain people, kind of similar to The Hills Have Eyes,
right?
In a way. And the first one was excellent. The second one was decent. The third one was not that good.
Waning as they go.
Yeah, number four and five were absolutely horrible. Well, let's find out about number six. A sudden and mysterious inheritance brings a group of friends to a forgotten resort deep in the hills. That doesn't even say anything about the Wrong Turn, nor does it say anything about the hillbilly people. The movie is horrible. It's one of the worst movies I've ever seen. I don't even know how this is a Wrong Turn movie. There are the hillbilly people.
How did it get made is the question.
Exactly. Well, but the thing is, it's basically made for nudity, and that's it.
Well, yeah, look at it like this. You know, with Halloween coming, it's on demand, so people are going to go, I want to see a new scary movie. And so they'll see Leprechaun, Wrong Turn 6, Cabin Fever 25, you know, whatever it is. And then, so people will actually watch it still. And I will never see it. I mean, it looks awful even without you saying it. But
both of these are absolutely horrible, horrible, horrible movies. You know, Wrong Turn 6 is definitely one of the worst movies
I've
seen this year.
So it's like a softcore porn, basically.
Kind of. Yeah, if you enjoy seeing your naked women with axes in their heads.
With what?
Axes in their heads, or with no heads at all. Because, of course, you know, if you wrap the barbed wire...
You just put a bag on them and get going.
Well, if there's nothing to put a bag on because, you know, you wrap the barbed wire around their neck.
Yeah, there's creative ways.
The barbed wire goes around their neck, and then you pull it, and then their neck comes off.
Yeah. Oh, is that like a Colombian necktie?
Their head comes off.
And so, what happens to it?
Oh, then it just flops on the ground.
And then?
You're just left with a naked torso.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh. Probably
what do they do with that?
And you'll have to see Wrong Turn 6.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't want to see that. Eric, you like that type of... Nah,
no, I that doesn't do
it. We don't like
it's
that.
It's all about hillbillies that, you know...
Oh, like Deliverance?
They'll do anything. Oh.
What was that? That was a Ouija
board. Possession?
That was the laugh of a hillbilly?
I don't know.
I don't think hillbillies laugh that way. How do they laugh?
You go over they there to the Black Canyon City and they go, ha, 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 yeah, man.
Yeah, Burt Reynolds, he's
that
hot.
Pretty good there.
Oh, no, it wasn't Burt Reynolds. Who was it, by the way?
The president's a black.
Yeah, remember Deliverance? Who was that?
They wouldn't even know. They don't have telephones up there.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Have you been to the Ozarks in St. Louis?
I've been to St. Louis, but I don't know if...
Well, I drove through the Ozarks on a foggy night one night with the full moon howling. It was very scary, driving through the Ozarks at night at 3 in the morning.
Were you worried some...
It was really scary. Don't... What?
Were you worried the hillbillies were going to get you?
Yeah. No, because I saw Deliverance. Remember that?
I seen that.
I didn't even have a bow and arrow.
Oh,
you're no Burt Reynolds.
I've been told that.
Well, Dave.
Yes.
See No Evil.
Yeah, but look, he lost. What was that?
Well, that was
name?
The name of a film too.
Oh, See No
Evil. See No Evil Two.
There's really another sequel to that.
Yes, See No Evil Two. It's available on video on demand and DVD.
I think we can make a movie.
Did you ever see the first See No Evil?
Yeah. No, that was with the wrestler.
We talk about
guy,
movies
right?
all the with time. Kane. Why not make one?
Yes,
that's a great idea.
Kane played Jacob Goodnight.
Yeah. Well, I've been talking to Joseph about writing one. Yeah.
Well, yeah, we should.
Yeah, absolutely.
But See No Evil 2, of course, it's Jacob Goodnight. Kane, the wrestler guy, plays Jacob Goodnight, a weird guy.
Oh, Kane is in there? Really?
Kane, yes.
Yeah, I saw him, all right. The wrestler.
Yes. A group of friends pays a late-night visit to the city morgue to surprise a young woman, played by Danielle Harris, who's been in several different horror films, including the Hatchet series. Yeah. She's cute, right?
What's her name?
Danielle Harris.
I'll look her up.
That's our friend Michael Myers' niece in the Halloween series.
Yes, and I have spoken to her. She is very, very nice.
Very nice girl. Yeah. Or actually, she looks so young, but she's probably in her mid late 30s.
Yeah. And
she's a cutie.
Yeah, she's cute. Yeah. So her friends pay her a visit at her workplace, the morgue, on her birthday. Of course, that's never a good idea. But the surprise is on them when the one-eyed corpse of brutal psychopath Jacob Goodnight unexpectedly rises from a cold sub-basement slab. This is actually quite decent.
She's got quite the tattoo on her bottom.
She does? Oh, wow. Yeah. You can do that on the Wi-Fi here?
I'm just looking. I Googled her image.
On her bottom?
Oh, you can look at anything, and that's why Eric's light mysteriously went down in there, and now it's dark.
What is the Ouija board saying?
It's always been that way.
What did you Google? I want to see this.
Danielle Harris. You go to Google, and then images, Danielle Harris. And
he won't know how to spell
it. There's a picture of her lying on the bed, kind of half naked. And she's.
I got some guy on my Google.
Not Danny.
Oh.
Danny Harris.
Dan Harris. With
nice bottom.
You know.
See that?
I spell it great.
How do you spell what?
He's looking at I-E. Danny's behind.
L-L.
L-L.
E.
Oh, my goodness.
And then last name, H-A-R-R-I-S.
Here we go now.
He looked up Harry Danny.
Oh, my gosh. This is much different.
Ooh, I bet you get some really raunchy pictures of that.
This actually has a good cast, and that may be another reason, because, you know, you have Catherine Isabel, who's been in horror movies, you know, Freddy vs. Jason.
And it is kind of scary. Like, I mean, anytime that the setting is a morgue, it is, you know, it can be, you know, it's ripe for some nice horror.
Yeah, true. But there's more mainstream in this, because Kane and those guys.
Who's the guy in the movie? List a couple of guys.
Cad, Jarek, Erickson, Grayson Holt, Lee Majdouf, Michael Eklund.
Michael Eklund. He's been in a lot of horror films and thrillers.
But some of these, especially with the actresses, you know, the mainstream, so people are more familiar with them. And sometimes when you see that, it's kind of like, oh, cool. You know, it makes it a little different.
And Jacob Goodnight is a very scary guy.
Yeah.
You know, there's some great kills in the movie, great gore. And it is quite scary. So I would say that I, you know, had a few nightmares the night after. You know?
Yeah.
So when a horror movie is really good, it will, you know,
it'll
have those.
Give you a nightmare.
Yeah, it will actually give you some nightmares. I'm saying not like I was terrified, but some, you know, like I was walking around in a morgue and I was a little bit creeped out.
Yeah. But what did Frozen do? He still had his.
He was guarding me, so he was okay. He was 1 foot on my chest and the other foot up. And
how do you turn over when he has a foot on
you? You don't. Trust me. So,
and then here's another picture of her with just body paint on.
Yeah. Oh, where's that one?
It's just in Google Images. I found it. She went to a costume party, wearing nothing but paint.
Well, there. Oh. Wow. Okay. Well, but while they look up those images,
Well,
Greg
Dave
and
Eric, and the young guys don't care.
Greg and I are going to get to.
Thank you, sir.
Oh, I got it, by the way. I got it real quick.
She's got the blue costume
on. I'll see those at my bar crawl.
Yeah.
Leprechaun Origins. Finally, we'll get to Leprechaun Origins. Two young couples backpacking through Ireland discover that one of Ireland's most famous legends is a terrifying reality. Greg, I love the original Leprechaun series.
Well, the original's great because Warwick Davis, what he added. Now, the first Leprechaun movie was a little darker, and that was Jennifer Aniston, probably one of her first roles.
And we spoke to the director of that film.
Absolutely. It was great.
Show.
And then it you know, wasn't as dark after that, some of the sequels. There's some humor mixed in, sort of like a Freddy Krueger, where it's dark, and then when you watch it, it's still scary, but it's sort of funny, you know.
Yeah.
And Warwick Davis was great. It's going to be tough. I haven't seen this yet. It's going to be tough for me to watch it because it's not Warwick Davis, and it looks like, you know, this is a different Leprechaun, really.
Well, it's available on video and on demand and DVD. I have seen it. I love the original.
You didn't like this.
I love this as well.
Oh, you do?
But
didn't we have the guy on who...
The original, yes, on our St. Patrick's Day special. Right. But Leprechaun Origins, so long as you're not expecting a continuation or anything resembling the original,
yeah.
This is terrifying.
Oh, okay.
It's very scary. The leprechaun is some sort of creature. Right. It's fine because it's placed in Ireland. You know, it's fine that they call it Leprechaun, mm-hmm. but it should not have any connection to the original Leprechaun franchise.
And I think that's why I would have trouble with it. It may be a very good horror movie.
Yes, view it as a horror movie.
Right, and that's the trouble with it. You know, like you had the music for Halloween 3 earlier. People,
yes.
A lot of people didn't like it as much because Michael Myers wasn't in it. It was a different villain setting type of situation. And this kind of the same thing because we're so used to Warwick Davis and kind of the humor he brings in. And it's kind of like those cult movies. They're bad. The first one wasn't a bad movie, but the others are sort of purposely written so cheesy that you kind of go, oh, this is a pretty good movie.
Well, the creature definitely wants him, wants his gold. He does not talk, but again, he is terrifying.
Yeah.
This definitely gave me nightmares. Check out Leprechaun Origins. That is the horror movie to beat.
Frozen really helps you out, though, with these
nightmares.
Yes, he
does.
You have someone
there
sleeping
down.
With you. Yeah.
He says, it's okay. It's okay. He goes, quack, quack. Quack, 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 quack. Yeah. And I say, okay, thank you.
What else
thank
does
you,
he do in the night, though, while you're sleeping?
I'll tell you during the break, because we got to take a break.
Because I had a male dog, and that guy was always a horny little dog. So.
All right.
Well, what was he doing during the night?
Well, my leg was his...
Tell you,
What number are we on? Is that accurate?
Sorry, no. Number 8, of course, another song from Psycho. This is, of course, another one of the themes from Psycho. A very memorable theme. To play us out of this segment on Breakthrough Entertainment's Halloween special.
And this is Breakthrough Entertainment Live, 1480 AM KPHX in Phoenix, Arizona. We'll be right back.
This is 1480 KPHX, Phoenix.
And welcome back again. You are listening to Breakthrough Entertainment Live on 1480 AM KPHX in Phoenix, Arizona. I hear some heavy breathing. Yes, we are on the telephone with an unknown caller. Might be the unknown comic with a bag over his head. Eric, you think that's
wearing?
Him? Do you hear the breathing?
Yes, I do.
Does it sound familiar?
I think it's Joseph.
Oh, it is. Oh, Joseph J. is breathing like that. Why are you breathing like that, Joseph
because
J.?
Because I'm just so excited.
Oh.
Of course. That is the theme song to The Thing.
Lucky I'm leaving. Okay.
Well, you're not going to want to leave yet.
But let's introduce Greg Isaac.
All right. Greg Isaac.
And?
Eric Reinert.
And?
Trisha's on location. Your name is Dave Isaac, and I am Joseph J. Erdo.
And it's true.
Yes.
Oh, that is a scary theme song. What is that from?
I told you The Thing.
I saw Russell. That. Is that The Hand in the Addams Family?
No.
It is called The Thing, though.
Yes. But The Thing. The Other Thing.
Oh, The Other
Thing?
There's
other
two of
thing.
Them?
Yes.
Only if you have, you're born in a weird way.
Yes, but it's Breakthrough Entertainment's Halloween special. And, you know, one of my favorite horror movies of all time. Something that will definitely get you in the mood, in the Halloween spirit, in the very scary Halloween spirit, is The Blair Witch Project. And we, you know, the director of that film, his name is Eduardo Sanchez, one of the directors of that film. And he's got a new found footage horror movie out, finally. It's been several years. And the movie is called Exists. It's all about Bigfoot. And it just came out yesterday over at the Arizona Center. We are so honored to have on, to help us celebrate Halloween, Eduardo Sanchez. Thank you so much.
Hey, thanks for having me. That was quite an intro.
Well, you know, I am truly honored to have you on the show. I got a chance to talk to you a couple of years ago about Lovely Molly. That was a great film as well.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, and so everyone should check that one out.
I'm sure that was memorable for him.
Lovely Molly?
No, you interviewing him.
Oh, me interviewing him? You remember me, right, Eduardo?
Absolutely, yeah. Man. How could I forget?
Yeah, see, Eric said, but let me tell our listeners a little bit about Exists before we go any further. Five friends embark on a weekend of camping in the Texas Big Thicket, but visions of a carefree vacation are shattered with an accident on a dark and desolate country road. In the wake of the accident, a blood-curdling force of nature is unleashed, something not exactly human, but not completely animal, an urban legend come to life. So, Eduardo, it's been quite a long time since we've seen you in the found footage genre. You know, you are the one who's done it best. And why is it taking this long?
Well, you know, I mean, when we first did Blair Witch, you know, found footage wasn't really, you know, real. It wasn't really a subgenre. It was just kind of a technique that, you know, Dan and I used to make this movie. And it was very much, you know, guided by the idea of the movie, by the story of the movie. You know, these three filmmakers disappear making a movie, so the film was, you know, had to be, you know, handheld POV kind of footage. But so after Blair Witch, you know, we just felt it was kind of a gimmick. It was just kind of a technique. It wasn't really a subgenre. But then after, you know, Cloverfield and Paranormal Activity and Rec and, you know, all these found footage movies, you know, it's a more accepted kind of almost subgenre of the horror genre. So, you know, it was kind of cool. You know, it just made sense to make a found footage movie. And then, you know, we're making a Bigfoot movie. So it just kind of, everything just kind of came together where it was the right time to make another found footage movie. And then also the subject matter really lends itself, you know, very well to found footage.
Absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, I think that Eric and I can both agree, you know, there's been a lot of different found footage movies. We you know, haven't liked too many of them, but Blair Witch has done it. You know, that was excellent.
I'm sorry, Eduardo, I've never seen it.
You've never seen Blair Witch?
I have.
I've seen it, I've seen
that's
it too.
That's preposterous.
Oh, my God.
I'm hanging up right now.
Oh, my God.
No, I got to say myself, Greg, I saw Blair Witch, and at the time, you know, I was, what, 13, 14 years old, and it was absolutely terrifying, and still is, because I saw it again a couple of years back, and it definitely set a precedence.
And it's the most successful movie in terms of budget to gross ever made, isn't that right?
Yeah, I think us and Paranormal Activity are kind of neck and neck, but yeah, we're both, you know, we made it for about $22,000, and then, you know, made a ridiculous amount of money. I mean, that was the original budget. I mean, obviously, once the studio came in, they added a lot more, you know, spent a lot more money, but that was the original money that, you know, got it in the can, as we say.
Yeah. I mean, that's fantastic. I saw that movie, too, and I thought it was so clever, well done, and scary, I know it's been a while, but just want to give you great shout-outs for making and really starting such an amazing trend.
Yeah.
If you
want to
say.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think, you know, I mean, you know, we definitely didn't invent it. There was other films that had used the same technique, but, you know, we definitely, you know, it kind of blew up with Blair Witch. So yeah, it's a really fun place to be. You know, where people kind of still remember this movie, and it's kind of a worldwide thing. I'm doing a signing right now, and there's a guy from Chile that, you know, told me his Blair Witch story. You know, he took, you know, his friends to the movie theater in Chile. So, you know, it's kind of like, it's just this worldwide thing, and it was just, you know, I just feel really lucky to have been a part of it, honestly.
Yeah, and you know, it meant so much to me that I remember. I think the year that when Blair Witch 2, Book of Shadows, which I also enjoyed, when that came out, I had my Halloween costume was Blair Witch inspired. I had the little stick figures. I had like literally dozens of them all hanging from my body. And
that's great.
Yeah, it was, and they were made out of real sticks because we have real sticks in New River in Arizona. Right. So you know, one of my favorite Halloween costumes, and you know, so 15 years later, you've come out with this movie, Exists, and I'm gonna review the movie right here on the air with you. I'm gonna say that the end result is not as genre changing as Blair Witch. I mean, that was like that's in another realm, but this is still leaps and bounds better than any other horror filmmaker's attempts at this genre. We get some really good glimpses of Bigfoot, but here's the key here. Sanchez ensures that Bigfoot is shrouded in mystery for most of the movie, while once again enlisting the creepy characteristics of the woods to actualize anxiety and produce panic. This is a truly terrifying movie. Thumbs up. Everyone needs to go out and check out Exists.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I mean, look, I knew, Dan and I always knew that, you know, we were never going to make anything like Blair Witch that was going to, you know, blow up. I mean, you know, it was kind of a once in a lifetime, you know, thing. But yeah, we do our best, and I'm glad you like to exist. And you know, it's a Bigfoot movie where you see the creature. That was kind of my pet peeve with Bigfoot movies, is that, you know, you never get your fill of the creature, and I wanted to make sure in this movie that people got their fill and it looked good. You know, it didn't look like a guy in a suit. It looked like a real monster, you know. So I love that about it. I'm really glad you liked it.
Yeah, you know, absolutely. And you know, especially the Bigfoot, the guy in the suit or whatever, you know, whatever that was.
Yeah, Brian Steele.
He's done quite a lot of this, you know, really cool work in that line.
Yeah,
right?
he's known as Creature Boy. He's been in you know, Hellboy movies, and he was in Predators, and he actually played the Sasquatch in Harry and the Hendersons, the TV show, a while back. So he's played this character before, but he's just one of these guys that we built the suit around him, and he just dove right into the character, and I think he brought, honestly, when as a filmmaker, you're like, well, how are we going to pull this off? You know, it's the guy in a suit, you know, how are you going to do it? So, but he brought such character and such depth to his performance that, and he even sold me, you know, I mean, you know, that last scene on the bridge in the movie, like, mm-hmm. you go right into that face, and for me, it holds up. It's not a guy in a suit. It looks like a real creature. So it's just a testament to his skill and the skill of the guys at the company called Spectral Motion that built the suit.
Yeah, actually, you know, the I'm glad you mentioned that we don't want to reveal anything, but that you know, the end of this movie, very intense. So you know, very exciting movie. Everyone needs to check it out. Again, it's at Arizona Center, and so tell us a little bit about the woods. I mean, because you're not only returning to this genre, you're returning to the woods. What is it about the woods that you know, interests you?
Well, the woods scare the crap out of me, honestly. you know, it's like. You know, I have woods behind my house, and you know, I'm in a neighborhood with, you know, lots of neighbors and stuff. But there's still something inherently creepy about just, you know, stepping out into the woods. It's like, it's not, you know, we build these shelters around us, and the woods are just kind of this, you know, it's just, we're not at peace there. We're not at home there. You know, we can't, you know, it's very hard to survive there. So, and then you put the woods at night. And it's just kind of, you know, it's a natural kind of nightmare zone, honestly, you know, and I think it's maybe from, you know, the from our ancestry, you know, being living in the woods and, you know, especially at night, you know, being, you know, obviously cautious of the woods because they can be very dangerous places, you know, especially at night. So I think there's just inherent kind of fear that we have of wooded areas, and especially wooded areas that are, you know, in the middle of nowhere, because there, you know, there really is no help. You're on your own, and there's nobody around to help, and you're kind of shrouded in this, you know, in this natural kind of camouflage. So you really are alone out there. And I've, you know, camping trips for me, you know, I mean, I like camping, but it's definitely not, you know, it's not a fun, not, you know, I kind of freak myself out sometimes out there.
Oh,
and you know how it is. Any little noise becomes, you know, a bear and a, you know, or a Sasquatch walking around. You know, so to me, like a creature walking around on two legs, you know, half human, half animal, stalking you and just kind of watching you and just being out there, just, you know, in the night is just, you know, one of the creepiest things I could think of. You know.
Yes, yes, and it is a very creepy setting. You did a great job in Exists. Great job in the Blair Witch Project. And so,
thank you.
And so tell us, you know, I think that the lingering question here is, will we ever see you return for the Blair Witch Project? Has there been any movement on a third film in that?
There's been movement, but, you know, not really in the right way, right direction. Okay. You know, we actually just met with Lionsgate about some stuff, and they're distributing Exist, so we're doing a lot of Blair Witch Exist double features. So mm-hmm. it's definitely kind of bubbling up. But nothing, you know, nothing concrete yet. But I'm sure that as soon as there's any news, you know, they'll be out with it. And you know, and honestly, I mean, look, we would love to go back to this world and, you know, that we created and do some more stuff in there. But, you know, we don't own it. So Lionsgate owns the rights. So for us, it's kind of like a wait, you know, sit and wait. And in the meantime, you know, we're doing other films, we're doing other TV shows. So it's just a matter of time between, you know, before, you know, they come, or, you know, if they come to us at all. But I think it's definitely on their radar as far as, like, making something, related to Blair Witch. They're just trying to figure out what's the right thing.
Okay. All right. Makes sense. And, you know, finally, final question here is, Eduardo, what are you working on next? After Exists, what can we look forward to? I know you mentioned a couple TV shows and stuff like that.
Yeah, we're doing, we're trying to, you know, we're close to getting a TV show on. I can't really say anything about any of the projects I'm working on right now.
Okay.
But we got a couple of features, horror features, that we're set to shoot early next year, probably do them back to back. And then we are close to getting a horror mystery TV show going, and we're just lining up the partners right now. We're going to go in a couple of weeks to pitch to LA, but it looks like it's for real, and but you never know. You know, these things, you do 10 projects, and you're lucky if one of them goes through, you know. But it looks like, I mean, next year hopefully will be a busy year. I'm going to go back and hopefully direct a few more episodes of Dust Till Dawn, the TV show, and just, you know, keep working, and, you know, whoever wants me, basically. You know, I want to get into more television. But yeah, I think it's going to be a busy year for me. We're going to do at least a couple of features, if not three, and you know, just see what happens. But thanks for having me, and thanks for the kind words about Exist. You know, it's a Bigfoot movie, and it's a fun movie. It's a fun ride, and I'm real happy, real proud of it.
Well, I'd certainly enjoyed it. I want everyone to check out Exist this weekend again. It's at Arizona Center, and you can also check out Blair Witch Project on video on demand, DVD, all that stuff. And again,
Exist is on VOD too, on video on demand too. So you can check it out from the relative safety of your home.
Yes, with your friends around you, and great Halloween viewing. And Eduardo Sanchez, happy Halloween! Thank you so much for helping us celebrate. It was a true pleasure.
No, thanks for having me. Really appreciate it. Happy Halloween to you and all your listeners. And thanks a lot for having me on.
Take care. Thank you. Best of luck with everything this weekend.
Thank you. Thank you. Bye bye.
Take care.
Yeah. Very cool. Blair Witch, that was just off the charts when it came out.
Oh, I know. I even saw it.
It
terrified me. I mean, yeah. I thought it was real when it came out. Of course, that was like
real.
The internet all started up, when people finally had internet. And I remember listening to all the tapes and all the different viral stuff that was going on around that.
The marketing around it was just fantastic.
Very good.
And even before it came out, I was at a theater, and they were really kind of pushing it. There's people
was
there.
Night showings really at first,
and it was great.
Yeah, so terrifying. I had T-shirts. They had missing Josh, Heather, and all them. And
Heather Graham?
No, oh, no, okay. Heather.
She's been missing.
Yeah, she's good.
Heather Graham's been missing too.
Yes.
But,
have you seen Renee Zellweger lately?
Oh gosh,
no.
What happened there?
Yeah. What happened?
All the work she's done. I'll show Dave.
She looks like Frankenstein.
Oh no,
she changed her look big time. Yeah, she used to be outstanding.
They actually made fun of it on Selfie this week.
That's a shame.
And our friend Matthew Carter Opple's show, you know.
Oh yeah. Excellent.
Good old Maddie.
And when they asked her why she looks so different, she said it's because she's happy in her life.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
Here, is this her picture?
Changing your
people.
That is her now.
Oh, it looks like Botox or something.
Doesn't look anything
looks
like
Frankenstein.
Her.
Looks like somebody stitched pieces together.
Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, this is horrible. What happened?
Plastic surgery.
She looks so happy.
No, don't understand. That's just her Halloween costume.
Oh, I was wondering.
She's dressed as Bridget Jones.
She looks like Mickey Rourke.
She kind of does.
The dead one.
No,
he die yet?
No, Mickey Rourke.
Are you waiting for him?
I guess we're not going to have him on the show anytime soon. Not because he's dead, but because he's insulted by Dave.
No, I'm kidding. No, that's really an insult to the other girl. Ugh. Anyway, so we're going to take a break.
Yeah, we're going to take a break again. You know, this is a Breakthrough Entertainment's Halloween special, and we're going to play.
Are we on number 10?
Yes, number 10. Into the break, we're going to hear a little bit from The Fog.
Oh, The Fog. I never saw that one. But I've been stuck in The Fog in the Ozarks of St. Louis.
The Fog was not scary at all, because who's afraid of fog, really?
I am.
When you're in the Ozarks, you're afraid of sunshine, moonshine, any type of shine.
It's because you got those fog lights on your car. That's
fog
why you're
lights.
Not scared.
You're right.
I'm not afraid of moonshine.
Yes, and this is Breakthrough Entertainment Live, 1480 AM KPHX in Phoenix, Arizona.
This is 1480 KPHX, Phoenix.
Welcome back to Breakthrough Entertainment's Halloween special here on KPHX 1480.
Is that a Russian?
Yeah, what is that?
It's a white Russian.
Are you supposed to be Dracula or were you a Russian?
I don't know what it was. I'm Transylvanian.
Yeah, drinking.
No, this is it's Candyman bringing us into what?
But that's Russian, though.
I know. I don't know.
What are you Russian
You're
for?
You're supposed to be Transylvania.
Yeah,
I
do
think.
Transylvania with the fangs.
I don't know.
Bite
that?
Into someone's neck.
He forgot to bring the fangs today. You had them that before.
Oh, yeah, I had the fangs on our vampire.
And they were like little straws, so the blood could go up into the fangs as a straw type of situation.
Yeah, I like straws.
Is that how it
you
works?
Like blood?
I like blood. Yeah, I've told you, I'm bringing the blood jello to the...
Real blood jello or just fake?
Real blood jello.
Where do you get the blood to make the jello?
If I told you that, I'd have to kill you and make you
and
into next week's
blood jello.
And then
you would get more blood. See, that's how he does it. Yes. I knew that's how he does it.
Your name is Dave Isaac.
Yes, and your name is Joseph J. Erdo.
And Greg Isaac is on
assignment
at the moment. Okay.
One time he got locked in there, remember?
I know, yes.
he's texting you on the air.
He says, I'm locked in the bathroom. And he calls me like something, whatever he calls me. But I don't get locked in bathrooms. Actually, I think I did once. I got locked in a closet. They reversed the doorknob. Well, anyway, that's a different story.
Yeah. And Eric Reinert is behind the glass controlling everything there.
And Trish is on location.
Yes.
I will not deny that I am here.
Oh, yes.
And, of course, that was Candyman, the theme from Candyman, bringing us into that...
Love the song by Sammy Davis Jr.
And, of course, if there was an echo in here, I'd say, Candyman, Candyman, Candyman. Uh-oh.
I don't get it.
You can't say it that many times.
Why?
No.
You're not allowed. Oh, well, what happens?
Beetlejuice.
Yeah, just like Beetlejuice.
Oh,
Beetlejuice,
yeah, that was a great movie. Yeah, what happens when that
If you
happens?
Say Candyman three times, it's just like saying Bloody Mary, Bloody Mary, Bloody
and then
Mary.
Then what happens?
Wow, you're really pushing it. You're trying to get them all in
I
here.
Know.
Look at the Ouija board. It's starting
it's
to
moving.
Moving by itself. That's amazing.
Well, we've got four non-Halloween movies to talk about really quick here. We want to run through them. Since it's our Halloween special, we don't want to spend too much time on them, but we do want to give them a fair shake. 23 Blast stars Mark Hapka as a high school football star who is suddenly stricken with irreversible total blindness and must decide whether to live a safe, handicapped life or bravely return to the life he once knew and the sport he still loves. Dave, did you see anything about this movie?
I did not see 23 Blast.
Okay, well, this is a movie, it's a football film, kind of somewhat faith-based. It stars one of our friends that we've had on a previous show, Max Adler. Remember, he lives right here where his family lives here right in the valley. He grew up here, Max Adler. 23 Blast is inspiration incarnated. It's impossible to watch this movie, which is based on a true story, by the way, without reflecting on your own life and pondering how you can overcome your own seemingly insurmountable challenges. Isn't that pretty impressive? A guy loses his eyesight and then is able to still play football?
Oh, how did he do that?
You're going to have to see 23 Blast to find out. Paired perfectly with an at-home viewing of Touchback. Did you ever see Touchback?
No, I did not.
It's a great great movie about football, kind of like It's a Wonderful Life type of vibe to it. This is actor Dylan Baker's directorial debut. It's the kind of football flick that transcends the game, exciting and encouraging all audiences. And just when you think you cannot be any more moved, there's a reveal during the end credits that scores a triumphant field goal, topping off what is already a touchdown. Greg, I know as a fan of sports, you're going to love 23 Blast.
23 Blast.
Even if you're not a fan of sports, you're going to love 23
movie.
Blast. It's a very good movie. You're going to see billboards around town with 23 Blast.
Okay.
When's it coming out?
It came out yesterday. Now, remember Max Adler, right? He was on the show a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
Great guy. And we're going to get him in studio one of these days, too.
And
so The Amazing Wizard of Paws, Will Spencer, plays a boy who, along with his faithful therapy dog, stumbles upon an ancient wizard's mystical book of spells and finds himself suddenly graced with extraordinary magical powers. Dave, remember when we had on the director, Brian Michael Stoller, for The Amazing Wizard of Paws?
Absolutely.
Yes. I believe it was
Lives in Phoenix.
Just in case his parents are listening.
It was about a year and a half ago, I believe. He was filming it. We were going to visit him on set.
Yeah.
We had him on the blog.
I remember.
Talk. Yes.
Yeah.
And so now the movie has finally come out.
Oh.
And it's all about this dog that that he's got. He's got.
He was at a parade, if I remember.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, well, I remember that.
And so when this movie has its 4 feet set squarely on the ground, it's as charmingly old-fashioned as the director's previous movie, First Dog. However, this appears to be aspire to be more than something more ambitious. You know, it's got several supernatural story elements that require special effects, the kind that, you know, frankly, when you have a limited budget, the special effects don't look all that great, as we know from a lot of different horror movies. So when we get what we get here is a movie that's about that's not very believable, with special effects that aren't believable either. The end result may enchant young children, but will likely beleaguer older viewers, including the ones who should accompany kids to explain some of the darker dramatic details. There are some deaths in this movie.
Yeah?
So, just to warn parents out there, Amazing Wizard of Paws, that would be a thumbs down. By the way, 23 Blasts is a thumbs up. So, I'm sorry, Brian Michael Stoller. Great first movie there with the first dog, but this one did not care. For this.
So the first dog was good, and the second dog wasn't so
correct,
good.
Correct, correct.
It was a dog.
Now, one I know that, I don't know if Greg is looking forward to John Wick, Keanu Reeves.
I'm not.
No? Okay,
no.
Well, Keanu Reeves plays an ex-hitman who, with New York City as his bullet-riddled playground, comes out of retirement to track down the gangsters that took everything from him. Does anyone like Keanu Reeves?
No, I like Keanu Reeves, just I'm not into the action genre.
Well, you know.
Sounds good to me.
It sounds good to you? I don't know.
That's the kind of movie
I'm kind of thinking that you might like this, Eric. You know, John Wick is mildly entertaining, but the style with which is presented is very annoying. During the downtime, it felt like a commercial for luxury vehicle or top shelf alcohol or some other upper class thing. But when it kicks into high gear, it becomes some super violent first person shooter video game. Both impressions leave the same reaction, or at least they did for me. Mesmerizing monotony. It's made worse by the mindlessness of it all. But again, those who've been waiting to see expressionless star Keanu Reeves kick butt again may still be satisfied. Thumbs down from me, but I think that Eric might enjoy
Come
it.
Come on, luxury cars, liquor, and guns?
Top shelf.
Top shelf.
Top shelf liquor.
There, there. Yeah. Right, white Russians. And now finally, listen up, Philip. We had on the filmmaker for this movie a couple weeks ago, Alex Ross Perry. Listen up, Philip. Jason Schwartzman plays an author who, while awaiting the publication of a second novel, feels pushed out of his adopted home city by the constant crowds and noise, a deteriorating relationship with his photographer girlfriend, played by Elizabeth Moss, and his own indifference to promoting the novel. However, when his idol, played by Jonathan Pryce, offers his isolated summer home as a refuge, he finally gets the peace and quiet to focus on his favorite subject himself. Does anyone like Jason Schwartzman?
I do.
I liked him in Rushmore, and he's not all that great anywhere else. Here, he was absolutely annoying. He ruined the movie. The movie could not be any worse. It plays like an audiobook, a very descriptive audiobook, and the only thing more annoying than the incessant narration is the character. So I don't know what was trying to be accomplished with this movie, but it was actually excruciating. It grinded my nerves. Thumbs down for Listen Up, Philip. So out of all these movies, the only one that I can recommend is 23 Blast.
Wow.
Yeah. So, again, a lot of movies out, but we've got a whole another hour coming up next, right?
Absolutely, yeah. A couple more reviews, including a Stonehurst Asylum.
Yes.
And Annabelle. And
okay, now we're on 12, right?
Yes, 12. I'm sorry I didn't switch it over. Yes, and this is a really creepy song.
Mm-hmm.
This is the theme from the Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Ooh.
There we go.
That is very creepy.
Yes.
Really creepy. It sounds like... Sounds like Joseph.
We don't need to
on a date that. At midnight. And this is a Breakthrough Entertainment Live, 1480 AM KPHX in Phoenix, Arizona.
I think there's a news report coming up in a second.
And we'll be right back.
This plea indictment is only one of a series to be handed down as special grand jury investigation. Grave robbing in Texas is this hour's top news story. An informant led officers of the Muerto County Sheriff's Department to a cemetery just outside the small rural Texas community of Newt early this morning. Officers there discovered what appeared to be a grisly work of art, the remains of a badly decomposed body wired to a large monument. A second body was found in a ditch near the perimeter of the cemetery.
This is 1480
KPHX, Phoenix.
And welcome back to Breakthrough Entertainment's Halloween show. Joseph, watch out. Jason and his mom are right behind you there. There we go. Eric, you're all alone in there.
Okay. It's scary. I'm all alone.
Wait, let me pick up the planchette. Mm-hmm. He's not alone in there. I don't see him in there.
Hey, did you purposely number this as 13?
I did.
Wow.
Friday the 13th, amazing. Our 13th song.
Yeah. Now, what's your favorite Friday the 13th movie with like 30 of them?
I don't really care for Friday the 13th.
I'm with you. Yeah. I'm with you there. I just, it's,
any
it's
of
boring.
Them? Any of them, really.
The Halloween franchise I liked. Even though some of the sequels were like, yeah, whatever. I don't know. Michael Myers I found to be more interesting than Jason.
Yes, I agree. And Freddy Krueger also, definitely. I mean, so if I had to
pick
one.
His mask was better.
What?
Halloween mask was better.
Yes. It was. William Shatner.
Yeah, just a hockey mask. I mean, it's like all these people who, you know, they wait until the last minute and they can't come up with a costume. Like, oh, I'm going to go and get a hockey mask.
Yeah, even the dollar store has the Jason mask. Now. You just go and grab it.
I was at some guy's house once, and I don't remember why I was there. I think I was there for...
Were he drugged?
I might have been.
Was there a pit?
Yeah,
was
I woke
he,
up.
Was he
and
lowering
was like
some lotion down to you?
Yeah, I had to put the lotion on. But he had the original Mike Myers mask in his home.
Yeah. I used to have a Michael Myers mask, really.
Yeah. No, I think partly because even though Michael Myers was sort of superhuman because he really never died, he technically wasn't a zombie. And, you know, you have Jason who was like a crazy zombie, whatever he was, you know. It wasn't interesting.
Didn't Jason crawl from the lake?
Yeah, something like that.
He drowned in the lake.
Yeah,
right?
He did. Yeah, when he was a kid. And today was his birthday.
And all of a sudden he grew while he was dead.
Yeah. Yeah. He got on steroids and Jason X or whatever when he's in space. And definitely the Halloween and Freddy Krueger franchises. I would have liked to see Michael versus Freddy. I think that would have been fun.
Yeah, that would, or you know, anything Texas Chainsaw. I like the, you know, the all those films. I like Texas Chainsaw the Beginning.
Oh, okay.
The remake prequel thing, whatever, with Jessica Biel in it.
Oh yeah, yeah. No, I haven't seen that. The only Texas Chainsaw I saw was the Matthew McConaughey, Renee Zellweger one from like the mid-'90s. It was like the third or fourth.
Yeah,
one,
I think it was Texas Chainsaw Panty Party or something.
Something like that. Man, Renee Zellweger, what is she doing? She was so hot. And oh gosh.
Yeah, but so it's Breakthrough Entertainment's Halloween special.
Yeah.
Where did everybody go?
I don't know. They just like disappeared.
He is going on a cruise. To Florida.
He didn't even know where he was going.
No, he didn't know. He didn't.
I asked him where's your cruise to, and he goes Puerto Rico, St. Thomas.
He really probably doesn't know. All I know is he's flying out to Florida like tonight. Well, he's leaving Arizona right now. He's going to, I think, to California, then Florida.
Well, I don't know if he should have been touching that Ouija board.
Yeah,
if he was going on that trip.
I hope he has his will made up there.
I know.
California's the opposite direction.
He has to pick up his Trisha and then...
his Trisha.
And her parents, I think.
Wow. Yeah.
Her parents are amazing. The dad's 90 years old, but you would never know it. He drives and everything.
And he's going on the cruise, too?
I believe. So and
why aren't we?
I don't know. There might be a cruise later on where
Eric could have
I have
this.
Two stepbrothers as well now, but I've only met them once or twice each. Nice guys, and you know, I think we'll go on a cruise to
a breakthrough cruise.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hey, yeah,
live. That would be great.
And remember, last year I was reminiscing about last year's Halloween special on the way over here. We actually did a pre-record.
And we did.
We had on the Crypt Keeper, of course, our friend John Kassir.
Absolutely.
You can check that out on breakradioshow.com.
Yeah, and sorry, John is not on the slide.
That's okay. He's actually had 2 years on our slideshow. I don't know why.
We'll have him
we've
again,
had him
though.
On twice. Yeah. But he was a great guest. So the Crypt Keeper, the voice of the Crypt Keeper, that highlighted our Halloween show last year. And, of course, we also did a fake seance. It was a funny bit with a long but amusing bit that I had pre-recorded and then we played on our pre-recorded show.
Yeah.
So and we I didn't tell anyone about it. So that was a fun time. And
yeah, you had us by shock.
Yes, but it was pre-recorded because I remember Dave was going to get married or whatever.
Oh yeah,
honeymoon or whatever.
Yeah, there was a wedding. I remember.
Right, there was
year.
Something like that. Yeah. And because I was watching the turkey movie, the The turkey.
Freebird?
Freebird, yeah.
Yeah, good
yeah.
movie.
Yeah, animated movie. I liked yeah. it. I liked it.
I did too.
Yeah. And so I saw that while the show was airing, and I got out and I heard my voice on the radio. It just sounded so strange.
Yeah.
Like to be in two places at once.
I never go back and listen.
You never?
Yeah. The only time is when I have to cut up some of the shows, but I sort of ignore everything other than the
I go back
I'm
and listen.
Out.
I think it's fun to listen to the to the show. And so, but again, our word of the week, if you're waiting to hear that, because mm-hmm. I got some complaints last week. We only said it once.
What word did we do last week? Because we only said it once.
So I don't forget it. Yeah.
Pretzel?
No, that was Pretzel Eater was a couple weeks ago. Yeah. I forget what it was last year. But we did have some people who got it right. But people were concerned because we'd only said it once,
concern. You're exactly right.
But the word of the week today is Roo, R-O-O, which is the middle name of Eric's dog. First name?
Bella.
Bella Roo. Yes.
Reinert.
Bella Roo Reinert.
The
yes.
third.
So Roo, okay, because that's what our
well, it's actually board. A hyphenated last name. It's Osborne Reinert.
Oh, okay.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go.
Yeah.
See, and you wanted the spirit board to get to spell all that out. And knew we you just said we have 2 minutes, and then you wanted to spell out Bella Roo Osborne Reinert the third and junior. Yeah.
Ugh. DDS.
Even the spirit board knows to keep on track more than Dave.
Yeah.
Yes.
So
the afterlife is much more organized.
It is. It is. But, so the word of the week is Roo.
Roo.
So that will exponentially increase your chances of winning several different contests, including Before I Go to Sleep and, Nightcrawler.
Yeah.
And, again, stay tuned to the Facebook page because we've got a big announcement on Wednesday or Thursday of this coming week, and we will do the formal announcement of it, as well as have an interview next Saturday.
Interesting. So,
exciting stuff. You and I are going to experience this thing.
We are. Okay.
Yes.
Now I think I know what the announcement
is,
and I am excited.
You and I will experience it.
I do see the spark between you guys.
Oh, gosh. Oh, thank you.
Oh, God.
Okay. Well, let's
get... John Cusa.
Well, before we go any crazier in here, let's talk a little bit about another new release we didn't get to, Stonehurst Asylum.
Stonehurst Asylum.
Jim Sturgess, of course we know him from plenty of movies, including that Beatles movie, right?
21.
I like that.
Across the Universe.
Across the Universe. Yeah, I like that movie.
That was a really good... I love the soundtrack to that.
Yep.
Sturgess.
Jim Sturgess plays a young doctor who arrives at an insane asylum in search of an apprenticeship and is warmly welcomed by its superintendent, played by Ben Kingsley, and a mesmerizing woman, played by Kate Beckinsale. However, a series of unusual events leads him to make a horrifying discovery, pushing him to the limits of his conscience.
Yeah.
You know, pretty good cast here, right?
It's a fantastic cast. Yeah, with Michael Caine and Kingsley and Sinead Cusack. I don't think she's related to John Cusack, though. I was checking that out. But no, absolutely great cast.
And who wouldn't be mesmerized by Kate Beckinsale, right?
No, she's great.
So
yes.
And this is actually inspired by an Edgar Allan Poe short story. And, you know, he always comes up with some nice Halloween-y material, right?
Yeah.
Or he used to. He's not around anymore.
So. That's because he was on drugs.
Yes.
It tends to bring out the Halloween in you, you know.
Yes. Did you want to recite The Raven for us today, Eric?
Nevermore, Joseph. Nevermore.
Nevermore? Oh, okay. All right. I was going to say next year, but okay, nevermore. there's plenty of promise in Stonehurst Asylum. For starters, you do have the fact that it's based on that Poe work.
Yeah.
And by the way, I think that this weekend there's a Poe Fest going on.
Are you really
serious? I'm
serious.
Poe Fest. That sounds
out here in Arizona.
Somewhere in Arizona, there's a Poe Fest going on. So if you're into that, you might want to check that out. Or if you don't want to go to the Poe Fest, you can check out Stonehurst Asylum. The setup is really interesting as well. It's pretty provocative. You get to I don't want to reveal too much. Don't watch the trailer if you're going to see this movie, by the way. But because it does reveal a little bit too much. But there... not everything at this insane asylum is what it seems.
Oh, okay.
There may be some switcheroos. I'll just say that. You know, its cast is also incredible. All three leads turn in terrific performances, and four leads if you count Michael Caine as well.
Yeah.
However, with one too many twists taking place before all is said and done, mm-hmm. and as well as a romantic element between Jim Sturgess and Kate Beckinsale, it just doesn't sit right. And the movie misses its macabre mark. It makes the potential for to chill bones both begin and end with its spine-tingling set design. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of like what we said earlier about a morgue. Insane asylums are always kind of creepy.
Absolutely.
Regardless of if the movie's good or not, mm-hmm. it's a creepy setting, especially if you're back in the Poe times.
Yeah.
Right. What would that be? Is that the 1800s?
Yeah, late 1800s, I think.
Yeah, and so it's a creepy time, especially you know, because so again, the set design is excellent, the cast is excellent, the setup itself is excellent, but it just goes off the rails.
Yeah.
About it's a little bit boring all the way through.
Yeah.
But that would have been okay if the movie had just not gone off the rails in the third act.
Yeah.
It was mid-century 1800s. He died in 1849.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, there you go. Thank you.
At the young age of 40.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Dave was around at that time, so Dave found a way to live pretty long. It's amazing.
Yes. And
is Dave a vampire?
He might be. He likes Twilight so much, so yeah, who knows?
Yeah, and I did see him drinking that blood earlier.
Yeah. Looked like coffee.
Oh, okay. Why did he bite his blood. Lip then? Why was blood like?
He probably did and just didn't realize.
Okay. All hopped up on that coffee.
Yeah, the Dunkin' Donuts.
But so unfortunately, I'm going to give Stonehurst Asylum a thumbs down. It's not a really strong thumbs down. Mm-hmm. You know, you could go a lot worse. You could go check out Wrong Turn 6. That's truly horrible. This, you might be entertained. I know several people who have loved it. I know several people who have hated it. I'm somewhere right in the middle, but ultimately a thumbs down because you know, it's not my kind of horror movie.
Yeah, no. I mean, it looks interesting. I may give it a check out. Poe Fest, by the way, it's going on at Hotel San Carlos. So go to Poe, P-O-E, fest.org for more info on time.
The hotel in here in town?
Yep.
Yeah,
absolutely.
That's
downtown.
That's supposedly haunted.
It is, yeah, right down the street.
Yeah. I think, they've got something going on at the haunted place over in Jerome as well. I don't know if that was last weekend or this weekend.
The hotel there?
Yeah, remember the hotel that's haunted? I've been there. They wouldn't let me pass the bottom floor.
Well, that's where the Ouija board just moved to yes, so they are saying something's going on there.
Oh, excellent.
Wow. Thank you. It's in agreement then.
Is Asmodeus with us today? Asmodeus?
Did you think you just saw that move? Because you're staring at it like you did.
Yeah, now it's spelling frozen.
Frozen?
Uh-oh. Wow. Unbelievable.
Nice.
Well,
nice.
Maybe you should call Frozen on break and check on him.
I'll have to check on him. All right, well.
Does he have a cell phone?
He does. He's got his own cell phone.
Does he have a Cricket plan, AT&T?
It's Cricket.
Oh, it is Cricket.
Oh, okay. You mean the phone. Okay.
Yeah.
Does he eat bugs?
Yes, he does, occasionally.
Yeah.
I prefer not to feed him bugs because then I don't like his kisses. All right. Ladies, 602-252-1480. Well, if you want to give us a call, again, this would be a great time to give us a call about any horror movies that you've seen. Just give us a call, 602.
What is the scariest horror movie that you've ever seen?
What's your favorite? What's your favorite scary movie?
Definitely Showgirls.
602-252-1480. 602-252-1480. What's your favorite scary movie?
Mm-hmm.
I'd say mine is Jeepers Creepers.
Really?
Yeah, that'd be mine.
Yeah, that's tough to say.
Yeah. Well, you know, did you like The Conjuring?
I didn't see it.
Yeah? Yeah, I hated The Conjuring. Eric, did you see The Conjuring?
No, I think it's on Netflix, but I have not watched it.
I think I started watching the second one. Well, it was Rose Byrne in it.
No, that was Insidious.
Insidious. Yeah.
Okay, so
you're confusing
me
now.
I have no idea. Yeah.
No,
I know they all do blend into each other at some point.
Yeah, I think we might have a call here, so I'm gonna hold off on reviewing Annabelle, but that's what I'm leading up to, because, of course, Annabelle came out earlier this month, and that is a prequel to The Conjuring.
About the doll, so basically a spirit takes over the doll. Yeah.
Bobby, what's your favorite scary movie?
Number one, the one I saw that caused the most apprehension and fear and scariness within me was The Changeling with George C. Scott.
Okay.
The baby in the baby carriage, you know, the twins.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That was awesome. I might have been in the right frame of mind because nothing really scares me. That ought to put you on warning, Joseph. nothing frightens me because I keep looking for something that, and not blood and guts, you know, actual good apprehensive fear.
Okay, so you don't like the blood and guts. You prefer
that doesn't. I've seen that on the farm.
Okay? Oh, okay. All right.
That's no big deal.
I'm with you there, Bobby.
Yeah, that's no big deal. It's the apprehensive, the not knowing who is it, what is it, mm-hmm. am I next? You know, that type of thing that feels like the Hitchcock. Hitchcock used to do a good job.
Yeah, he was.
And then the people, guys I work with, paid to have me go see Alien. They said that would frighten me. Hmm. That was where the alien comes out of the woman's mouth.
Absolutely. Yes.
And did nothing for me. I just go on, I just wanted to see how she did her eye makeup and that type of thing. You know?
Oh, she did fantastic. With yeah. But the movie wasn't scary.
It was not scary. I was disappointed.
I'll agree with
that. And called them all weak-kneed when I got back to work, so that didn't do me any favors.
Yes. So while we have you on the line, since we were playing our spirit board earlier, do you believe in the spirit board, Ouija?
I stay away from the Ouija. I do believe in spirit.
Okay.
I have no problem. They help me out all the time.
Yeah.
Other dimensions. You
mean by spirits, you mean like liquor, right?
No, honey, I haven't had anything to drink in 30 years. I used to have Glenn Levitt and water all the time, but I gave that up 30 years ago when I found out I could be the best drunk in the state of Arizona.
Oh.
And I said, we ain't going to do that no more. My dad was the best drunk in the state of Texas. And he did a good job of it, so genetically I'm, you know, set up for that.
There you go.
Yes, well.
And it wasn't worth it. Well, anyway, the bar crawl, when is that coming up?
The bar crawl is next Saturday. It's going to start at the King over in Old Town Scottsdale. I don't know the other locations. You'll have to stay tuned for next Saturday's show. I'll tell you more about the locations. But it starts at the King at 3 p.m., 3 to 4:30 p.m. We will be at the King next Saturday.
Okay, because I have a dog-sitting obligation next week. However, I will feed the little puppies, throw them in their kennels, give them big doggy rawhide chews, and tell them I'll see them in about 3 hours.
Excellent.
And we'll see how that works if anybody chews through the kennels. It's like running a penitentiary, what I do. Because there's all kinds of creatures there.
Well, do you have a costume ready?
I'm always in costume, honey.
Oh, okay. Are we going to meet Katiana?
I don't know. You talk of spirits. There are so many spirits within this 105-pound piece of work that it scares me because I don't know who's going to come out. I have them pretty much under control, but Halloween, they get a little wacko.
Hey, Bobby, you're not going to need 3 hours with Joseph, by the way. 5 seconds will do, and it will be good.
He will pass out probably the minute he sees me.
There you go.
Probably.
So it'll be 1 second.
Bring a few slutty pumpkins for me to choose from.
I am looking. Joseph, I have not found anyone of quality that I consider would live up to your expectations.
Okay, all right.
But that is still my job, you know. I continue to be on the hunt, so to speak.
Yeah, I am very discerning, so I appreciate your acknowledgement of that.
No. You know, I just can't throw you a piece of pumpkin.
That's true. All right. Well, thank you so much, Bobby. You know, happy Halloween. We'll talk to you next week.
Yeah, God willing, the dogs don't bite, and I make it through Friday night. I will see you guys on Saturday.
Yes, thank you. Thank you.
Thanks,
take care.
Bobby.
Have a nice weekend.
Yeah.
So, yes. Katiana. Annabelle.
Aren't you lucky and excited?
I'm really lucky and excited. I don't know why my voice goes like that all of a sudden, but.
Yeah, I hope his name's Ted.
I am very excited.
Yeah, there you go.
Let's talk about Annabelle.
Annabelle.
I did not like The Conjuring, but, you know, Annabelle, I love these doll-type movies. So a couple begins to experience terrifying supernatural occurrences involving a vintage doll shortly after their home is invaded by satanic cultists.
Scary. Oh, occult members.
Yeah. So they invade their home. The woman basically dies on top of the doll. Her blood gets transferred into the doll. We've seen it all before with Chucky, right?
Yeah.
Except for Chucky is neat because he can get up and walk around and do all these creepy things and hold knives and he talks and Annabelle just sort of sits there.
Yeah, Chucky's someone you can hang out with, have a nice conversation with. You just got to watch your back a little, make sure he doesn't stab you.
And Chucky is genuinely scary.
Yeah, he is.
Annabelle, the doll is kind of creepy and it would be neat to have her sitting on your shelf if you want to, you know, like some horror memorabilia.
Let it out.
Yes. But the doll just sits there in the rocking chair. The rocking chair just rocks back and forth. It's not scary. But then you get the doll not really even being a part of the story. It basically becomes Ouija, where the demons and all that, whatever it is just sort of taking place. And it's sort of like Ouija, where it doesn't matter what the novelty is.
Yeah.
It's just the same old story packaged with a certain novelty. In this case, it's Annabelle from The Conjuring.
Right.
So, thumbs down for Annabelle. Did not care for that at all.
Oh, okay.
Definitely not scary, that's for sure.
Right.
And finally, let's get to The Town That Dreaded Sundown. Did you ever see the original, The Town That Dreaded Sundown, Eric? This is kind of your time.
Really?
Yeah, it's like the 70s or something.
I have not seen it.
No, okay.
I can go back and picture Eric in the 70s. I can see that little fro.
That was a neat fro.
The pot in his mouth.
He had the disco ball in his house.
Wow, that's a stretch.
Yeah.
I remember Eric used to have one of those big heart-shaped beds that kind of like turned around in circles that he'd bring the ladies back to. Hey, ladies, this is my control room.
The other bed that comes out of the wall.
And I had a disco ball over the bed.
Yeah, there you go.
And now he's just got the camera. Okay, so over the bed. 65 years after...
A hidden camera.
Yes. Oh, we don't know where it is. 65 years after a masked serial killer terrorizes the town of Texarkana, the so-called Moonlight Murders begin again. Is it a copycat or something even more sinister? The original the town that dreaded sundown was... I've never seen it, by the way, but from what I understand, it was kind of like... shot documentary style, not found footage, but it was telling us like the unsolved mysteries type of a approach to it.
Yeah,
where it's based on a true story. Here's what happened, telling us, and some great murders in there and stuff. The remake, it's not a remake. It's kind of a sequel. It's a follow up. It's 65 years after all this stuff went down. What else is happening? You know, this murderer sort of pops up again. It's okay. It's decent. I would ultimately say probably a thumbs down, but it's better than a lot of movies. If you are a fan of the original Town That Dreaded Sundown, I would say check it out for sure. If you don't know it, you might want to check it out, and you might want to go back and check out the original. Again, it's kind of right there in the middle, like Stonehurst's Asylum, but I'm giving it ultimately just a mild thumbs up. It was in theaters last week. It was an exclusive over iPick, but it didn't last very long, so now you'll have to check it out on video on demand. And Annabelle, by the way, is still in theaters.
Yeah, that is still in there, yeah. The thing with this one, I haven't seen it, but Gary Cole being in it, it just hard...
Gary Coleman?
Gary Cole. Still alive. Of course, from Office Space, and he's always on Family Guy lending his voice. Mike Brady in the new Brady Bunch movies. Well, they're not new anymore. They're like 20 years old.
What you talking about?
He's great. He's hilarious, but it's hard to believe in a horror movie. Anthony Anderson, he's done some horror.
Anthony Anderson is a little bit weird when he pops up in the movie.
But you got to add some comedy, I guess. Well, I would think that they're funny in this.
And it's kind of, the ending isn't, you kind of see it coming a little bit.
Yeah.
All I can say is look into the masked killer's eyes. And you'll get a hint at the ending. But it is, just a bag over the face, kind of a little potato sack thing over your face. It's really, it's creepy.
Kind of creepy. It's
kind of believable. It's more so than, someone's not going to put on a hockey mask or a...
they won't have the time,
Yeah, they're going to take a potato sack or something, put it over their face, and cut holes for the eyes.
That's what Jason had originally in the second Friday the 13th.
That's true.
But he could also run in that one.
Yeah.
Then he took his steroids and got big, and then he turned into a zombie.
So, Town That Dreaded Sundown, a mild thumbs up. I would check it out. I wanted to see it last week and review it for everyone, while it was in theater, but... unfortunately.
Well, now watch it at the, comfort of your home. And
absolutely.
Halloween's on a Friday this year. If you're not going out, but you're having a little party at home, have a movie on, that may be one to put on.
Yeah, I would definitely do that. That's what I'm going to be watching all the different Halloween specials, of course. Mm-hmm. Girl Meets World, A to Z, they all have their Halloween specials. So,
wow.
Exciting stuff.
Yeah, some of Frozen's favorite Disney shows.
A to Z?
Oh, I don't know what A to Z world, is. Oh, yeah, Girl Meets World is. But,
it's okay. It's decent. But A to Z, that's a good show.
You watch Disney shows?
I watch one, Girl Meets World, because it's a follow-up to Boy Meets World. And, of course, there's other, The Middle has its Halloween episode every year. The Middle, excellent show. So, but we're going to want to take a quick break here because we've got a guest that's going to be calling in very shortly. I think they're on the line.
Yes.
But actress Bitsy Tulock will be joining us on behalf of Grimm from ABC. But right now, let's play a little bit from Nightmare on Elm Street.
Ah, there we go. Yeah, going into break now. We'll be back just in a couple minutes, as Joseph said, Bitsy Tulock from Grimm.
This is 1480 KPHX, Phoenix.
And welcome back to Breakthrough Entertainment's Halloween special. And Joseph, what is this?
Child's Play.
Oh, Child's Play.
Yes.
Okay.
One of my favorite horror movies of all time, or franchises. Oh. Of course, I love the comedic version. Chucky, Bride of Chucky,
yeah.
Son of Chucky.
They're all pretty good.
No, Seed of Chucky, sorry.
Yeah. I don't recognize the song, though. But it's been a long time since I've seen the original Child's Play, so if that's what it's from, that's probably why.
It's definitely a creepy theme, though.
There it is.
Every
absolutely.
Time we go to break, I feel compelled to hire a lawyer and a CPA.
Wow. Outstanding.
Yes.
Good stuff. So it's working. Thanks, Eric.
Break
putting it in your head.
Breakthrough Entertainment's Halloween special right here on KPHX 1480. I am Joseph J. Erdo.
And Greg Isaac here. And, of course, our great producer, Eric Reinert. And before our guest comes on, Eric, or Joseph, with a little introduction.
Yeah, well, we have on a really special guest. Of course, we've been celebrating Halloween all month long, and especially today, it's our Halloween special. Mm-hmm. We've been talking all about Ouija boards. We've been talking with the director of Exists and the Blair Witch Project. And now we have on someone from a TV show that you can watch from the comfort of your own home.
And she's at a very wonderful special place right now, too.
She's in a very wonderful special place. Actress Bitsy Tulock, where are you from? Where are you at
close.
Right now?
I am with David Gentoli, who's the Grimm, and we are doing a fan convention for Spooky Empire tomorrow, so we are actually at Disney World right now.
Oh, wow.
So I'm taking, he's off getting me a snack, and I am taking a little break so I can call you guys.
Oh, well, we really appreciate you taking
absolutely.
The break there, yeah. And so it's pretty creepy there this time of the year, though, isn't it?
At Halloween? Yeah, apparently our lovely guide was saying that they start decorating for Halloween like in early September, and then basically the day after Halloween they're going to start decorating for Christmas. So.
Yeah,
I'm surprised they've waited that long for Christmas. Most things here in Phoenix already looks like Wintered Wonderland, which we'll find out next week on our holiday preview. But Bitsy, you know, tell us a little bit about your character in Grimm. You know, so of course the season premiere was last night. It was season four, right?
Yeah, season four premiered last night. I played Juliet Silverton. I am a veterinarian, and I am dating David Gentoli's character, who's the Grimm. And he finds out at some point in season one, he's a cop, and he finds out that he's actually a descendant of the Brothers Grimm, so he is able to see these creatures morph, so he can kind of see people for what they really are. And so it's a really fun show. There's a lot of awesome VFX and prosthetics. The guy who does the makeup for all the creatures has won, or was either won or was nominated for an Oscar. And so each episode is sort of a procedural, and it's like based on a fairy tale.
Yeah, and it's amazing that there are so many of these different horror-themed shows on, and people just love them. I mean, of course, now it's you've got Constantine right after you. That's got a nice little horror theme to it as well. And people just keep getting into these wonderful horror-themed shows. What attracted you to the show in the first place, or what's the most fun about playing this character?
I read the pilot in February of 2011, and I just remember thinking what a fabulous idea to do a cop procedural with a fantasy cop procedural, because nothing like that had really been done before, except for maybe you had like fantasy shows sort of along the lines of Buffy the Vampire Slayer and Angel, and those are the same guys who did Grimm. Mm. And they also are showrunners, were writers on the X-Files as well. So I always feel like Grimm, because we have a little Scooby Squad, and it sort of feels like Buffy the Vampire Slayer grown up.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's a very, very good idea there. And, I loved Buffy the Vampire Slayer. And
Ironically, I watched that show for the first time the other day.
Really?
There was a replay on, FX, a Halloween one from, the third or fourth season. First time I've ever seen it. It was actually very entertaining.
Oh. Now, I know with Grimm, last season, so back in the spring, there was kind of like a cliffhanger. And now, since last night has played out, can you tell us where we are in the story and maybe what we can look forward to on Grimm this season?
Well, so the season three premiere, season three finale had a ton of cliffhangers. Juliet and Nick are on their way to Rosalie Monroe's wedding, and I figure out that he basically just had sex with a witch who was impersonating me. So I'm furious. And my character, I just am thinking I've had it. And then Monroe and Rosalie's wedding is ruined. And then the captain gets shot and he's in critical condition. And then Sergeant Wu is sort of piecing together everything. And then the main cliffhanger is that because of the spell the witch did through me, Nick has lost his grim powers. So the cliffhanger going into episode two, which will air next Friday night at 9 p.m. on NBC, is that Captain Renard is either dead or he's, you know, about to die. So that's a huge thing. And also, is Nick going to get his grim powers back, and does he want them even back? Because it's either don't be a grim and get the love of your life to stay with you, or like try to get your powers back, and Juliet could conceivably just say, I've had it, and move on.
Well, then, you know, then what would happen with all these, you know, baddies around? Of course, you got werewolves on this show. It's a pretty impressive lineup. What's been your favorite Grimm type character?
Creature?
Yeah.
There is a little ice beaver who's a little beaver creature, and played by a wonderful Portland actor, Danny Bruno. And he, you know, not all Vessin, that's our name for the creatures, not all Vessin are bad. And he's an example of, he's really shy and he's kind of goofy and he's just so sweet and nervous. And so the ice beavers are typically really, really sweet Vessin. And he's just my favorite.
Nice. Okay, excellent. And, you know, of course, you've got so many other projects under your belt. Greg and I were going through a lot of the, you know, Greg, list some of the for other credits here.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. The Artist, of course, which is one of the great films of 2011. And another big standout, you know, Lakeview Terrace, among many others. And
Lakeview Terrace was my first movie. And I'm actually on the East Coast right now because I started rehearsals this week for a movie with Will Smith about concussions in the NFL that Ridley Scott is producing. So through December, I'm going to be flying back and forth from Grimm, where we shoot in Portland, Oregon, to Pittsburgh, where we're shooting the concussion film. So, and then I have two other movies coming out next year. One is an indie film called Chronic, about a hospice nurse played by Tim Roth.
Wow.
And then an indie film called Dead Draw, which is a heist film, and my character is sort of the puppeteer of this group of four guys who are pulling a major heist.
Because it was pretty big news, I don't know if it was about a week ago or something, that, you know, your involvement in the Will Smith movie.
Yeah.
So I was, you know, excited that we had already, you know, had you booked on the show and everything like that. And after that, so the rehearsals for this movie, you're already in them, you said?
Yeah, I was in Pittsburgh Wednesday and Thursday rehearsing, and then I'm in Orlando right now, as I said. David and I fly back tomorrow night to Portland, and then I shoot Grimm for about 10 days, and then I fly to Pittsburgh and start shooting the concussion film in mid-November. And then for a little over 2 weeks, I'm going to be back and forth between Pittsburgh and Portland.
Wow. So you keep pretty busy there. I mean, right?
Yeah, you typically, Grimm shoots 9 months out of the year, so it's pretty hard to film anything while we're also shooting Grimm. So usually if you do a movie, you kind of want to do it on your hiatus from the show, but Universal Studios was great about, you know, letting me out and just working around my schedule so I don't miss any Grimm episodes, but I can also do the movie.
Oh, that's excellent. That's excellent. And so you will have some downtime around the holidays, I hope, though.
Yes, I will. I'm going to Seattle for a few days, and then we are going to Vienna and Prague.
Oh, exciting!
Yeah, and we have about 2.5 weeks off for Christmas.
Oh, terrific!
And Alvitzi, most important question here though is, what's your favorite ride thus far at Disney World?
At Disney World, I loved Space Mountain just because it's in the dark, so
absolutely,
you have no idea what's coming next. And the ride I am standing outside of right now that I'm going to go on is Splash Mountain.
Oh, great stuff.
Yes. And, you know, so how about next week? Are you doing any Halloween parties? Is your schedule allow for any of that? And if so, any
costume? Yeah, well, randomly, because, you know, we usually shoot Monday through Friday, and Fridays are always, we usually shoot till 3 or 4 in the morning just because of the way the schedule works out. But everybody except for David, who has off most of the day, so we're all going over to a friend's house and we're all gonna, you know, put candy out. But since I just got my schedule and I just realized I wasn't shooting on Halloween, I don't have a costume ready.
Uh-oh.
So I'm gonna have to think of something.
Okay.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm sure you'll come up with something great. And
yeah, just go to the wardrobe department and beg for something.
There you go. Absolutely.
Easy.
Yeah, or grab something from Disney World there. But Bitsy, thank you so much for joining us today. And if you're comfortable with this, when you get off the air here in a second, if you could stay on the line, our producer Eric wanted to take down your email so we could stay in touch with you and some of the future projects you have coming up as well.
Yeah. So do you guys have the NBC email?
I'm sure. I'm sure Joseph may have it. Yeah.
Yeah, that's probably best.
So oh, okay.
Joseph, do you have it?
They'll email
yes.
me.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Perfect. Yeah. Then we're good with that. But yeah, thank you so much. Of course, Bitsy Tulak from Grimm, and definitely check that out, especially this time of year, Halloween time.
Yes.
And, some great stuff going on, and enjoy the rest of your visit at Disney World.
Thank you. All right. Bye, guys.
Happy Halloween.
Absolutely. So once again, yeah, Bitsy Tulak, great stuff there. I got to check out Grimm. I haven't yet, but I definitely type of show I think I would be into, you described it.
You were mentioning that you you liked American Horror Story.
I just started watching that. And basically just yesterday, and I got through, I think, the first 8 or 9 episodes. Yeah, and it's fantastic. It's different because... You know, you see these haunted house shows and all these movies we've been talking about, but there's just the writing is just, I think, what makes it interesting. There's little twists and stuff, but just, the storyline is different than just finding something and having a demon or a spirit come through, and that's something I like about thus far.
But I forgot to mention this earlier with The Town That Dreaded Sundown. That is actually the writers and stuff involved in The Town That Dreaded Sundown, same ones as American Horror Story.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Ryan Murphy's production company, and mixed with Jason Blum, of course, who brought us Ouija. So, a lot of greats involved in there. So,
absolutely, and some good stuff.
And since we've already played a Dead Child's Play, that theme, and we were talking about Annabelle earlier. I think we should stick with this this haunted doll type theme here.
There's more haunted dolls.
Yes, there's a lot of haunted dolls. Why can't I say doll?
Doll.
Dow. There's a lot
That's
of
how they say it in Chicago.
Dowels. So, hey, Dowels. All right, so have you ever seen Dead Silence?
I have not.
This makes you want to see it.
Okay.
This is the theme to Dead Silence.
Makes me not want to see it.
It's pretty creepy.
No, it is creepy.
It is a really creepy little music box here. They reuse this theme in The Conjuring.
Oh, okay.
But it's best used in Dead Silence.
And this is also about a doll.
It's about a doll. It's about a ventriloquist doll type of...
Oh, those are the scariest. Yeah, the Twilight Zone with the ventriloquist. Or Talking Tina.
By the same guys that made Saw.
Ah, there we go. Yeah, and I think is there another Saw coming out next year or something?
We're going to get to that,
actually. We'll talk about it maybe after the break.
Yeah.
This is Breakthrough Entertainment's Halloween special. Of course, enjoy the music from Dead Silence. We'll be back in a couple minutes.
This is 1480 KPHX, Phoenix.
And welcome back. Breakthrough Entertainment's Halloween special. And Joseph, Mr. Witch, what is this?
Witch, Mr. Witch.
Yeah, Mr. Witch.
Why can't I just be a goblin? This is Puppet Master, the theme from Puppet Master. Ah. I remember Puppet Master being possibly my introduction to the horror genre. Kind of a safe type of horror movie. Of course, the puppets are not exactly... They're evil, but they kill the bad guys, kind of.
There you go.
If they're controlled by the right person.
Right. There you go. I've never seen Puppet Master.
Really?
Yeah.
There's a whole bunch of them. I love this theme. It brings me back to my childhood. Very creepy movies. A whole cast of like little tiny action figures.
Oh, yeah.
I have several of them.
Uh-huh. Of course you do.
Of course I do.
Are they still in the boxes, kind of like
Some of
Steve
them are.
Carell's character?
Some of them are.
Really?
Yes. But yeah, the very, very creepy. There's the guy with he's a skeleton face, and there's the guy with a six shooter. He's got six arms and a gun in every hand. The guy with the little tunnel digging thing on his head.
Yeah.
Then there's the big guy that strangles everyone. Pinhead is what he's called.
Yeah. Okay.
And then there's the girl that's a really sexy little doll.
Right.
That she spits up leeches, and then the leeches kill you.
That's disgusting. But, yeah. But Pinhead, so they took from Hellraiser, basically.
Kind of, yeah. Yeah, but this is, he's got a little tiny head, but his body is huge, and his arms and hands are even bigger, and so he can just strangle you. But he's got this little tiny head.
So he's just a fat guy with a little head.
Kind of. And they don't, but he's not fat, his muscles.
Yeah, so, I'm a pretty strong fellow. Yeah.
But interesting. It's a great franchise. Unfortunately, their last one, I wasn't able to make it through yet. I keep trying to make it through it. Axis of Evil. Mm. They've gone off on this weird Nazi type kick.
That's what ends up happening with some of these horror franchises, because you just keep going and going. You run out of ideas, but you keep releasing the films because, one, you know, if you have that cult following, you feel, hey, you know, you could still make some money off it and stuff. But,
yeah.
I don't know. Never seen a Puppet Master.
No,
but yeah, that
last
one you're saying, yeah, that's recent, just 2012 it looks like. So
yeah.
They've been going at it since the late 80s.
I know, and it's some of the best horror movies are from the 80s,
yeah,
for sure.
Absolutely. That was a big time with that, and it was sort of before our time. I mean, we were born in the mid-80s, and so we had some stuff, but always going back and watching some stuff there. But Robert joining us now, looking to talk about some of the movies going on. Robert, how are you doing?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Great.
Hey, I know you guys were talking about Annabelle earlier.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you guys know that it's actually based on a true story of a real doll named Annabelle that was a Raggedy Ann that was haunted.
Yes, I saw the picture on the internet.
Yeah, and it's actually still in existence at the Ed and Lorraine Warren Occult Museum in Connecticut. So it still can be seen today. It's true. It is locked in a box.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I think at one point we were trying to get on one of these curators for the museum. I think that has the original. The doll that Chucky was based on or something.
Oh, really?
We weren't able to work
it
out.
That would be creepy, something like that.
They said that the doll has to approve all interviews, and I'm not kidding at all.
Yeah, they were talking about Robert the Haunted Doll from Florida.
Right.
Yeah, he's I've seen pictures of that one. That one's a trip, too.
Yeah, I'm looking at him right now.
Yeah, and so these dolls have to approve all interviews, and I again, that's not a joke. And so they, I don't know how they approve, yes or no, but apparently they have declined some.
Oh, man.
And I think they declined us.
Oh, come on, no.
But, yeah, the actual doll that was in the movie, yeah, it's not. It's actually a Raggedy Ann doll, so. If anybody wants to go and look, you can go on Hollywood historyversushollywood.com and just look up for Annabelle. It's got a real detailed article of fact versus fiction of the Annabelle doll, and that's kind of cool.
Yeah, absolutely. And Robert, have you seen Annabelle?
Yes, actually, got to go to one of the GoFobo events here at Tempe Marketplace, and I thought the movie was pretty good. It was better than The Conjuring, I thought.
Oh, okay. I would agree that it was better than The Conjuring. You know,
but. I haven't seen yet, but I'll have to check it out and get my input later on. But thank you so much, though, Robert, for that.
Yeah, before you go, I would also say learn a little bit about the backstory before you go watch the movie so you can know the difference between what's true and what's false in the movie. So.
Oh, okay. Very good idea. And Robert, one more thing. Do you remember our word of the week?
I just turned in, guys.
Oh, okay. The word of the week is Roo, R-O-O, and if you go to breakradioshow.com, click on the big F, there are a couple of contests, and you can win some VIP passes. All you need is that word of the week.
Okay, good. Thanks, guys. Have a good Halloween.
You too.
Thanks,
Halloween.
Robert. And so, yeah, interesting facts there about Annabelle. And that actually does make it a little more terrifying. So now, I do see it, I am going to check that stuff out, because when you have that backstory around it, and you always hear, hey, movies based on true stories, and sometimes it's just one little minor tidbit, but they could say that. But this, behind it, what I've sort of seen so far and what Robert mentioned, it makes it a little creepy, so. We'll and, have to definitely check it out.
And last year, remember on our Halloween special, we were talking about Curse of Chucky, which is why I was genuinely looking into Robert the Doll.
Yeah.
And I was doing a bunch of research on that. Again, it didn't work out. I don't think he did decline us. It was they weren't able to work it out of the timing or something like that.
They don't want to let him out of the box.
Well, but seriously, that he does have to approve all... He has to approve all pictures, and like there's a certain, you know, thing that, surrounding him. But yeah, they don't let him out of the box.
Is it me, or does the doll in Annabelle look like Nicole Kidman?
It kind of does. You're right. It kind of does. But
I would say Renee Zellweger, but we don't know what she looks like now.
Right.
Actually, most dolls now will look like Renee Zellweger.
Well, a couple other
doing?
A couple Blu-rays and DVDs that we didn't get to that came out earlier this, I think they might have been last month we've been backing up here, but The Quiet Ones, that one actually stars the star of Ouija, Olivia Cooke.
Okay.
And so if you can't get enough of her, you check out Bates Motel, or you can check out The Quiet Ones, kind of a psychological, supernatural thriller. I did not care for it. It was very boring. I'm giving The Quiet Ones a thumbs down. There's kind of a possession involved and all that.
Too quiet.
Yeah, a little too quiet. She is good, though. But so she's a great actress. I think that she's got the potential to be something big.
She kind of looks like a younger Leighton Meester. When she has hair.
Yeah, kind of. Yes, true. And then there's also The Sacrament, which is another found footage movie, but it's actually done quite interestingly. This was actually at the Phoenix Film Festival this past year. Ty West directed it. It's all about this documentary film crew that goes to this cult-type area where the father, the guy who's running the society, he's Not a very nice guy, even though he seems nice. He's controlling everyone's minds. Everyone thinks, we're safe here. And then he decides to let everyone know that it's time to drink the Kool-Aid.
Yeah.
And so it's this documentary films crew's, wrong place, wrong time.
Yeah.
And a very interesting movie. I would give that one a mild thumbs up. Not great, but it is a mild thumbs up because it is interesting because we know that societies like this do exist.
Yeah.
And you never know who's running them. And the guy who is playing the guy that is running the society, very, very creepy guy.
Mm-hmm. Haven't really heard much about it. I did see one on Netflix the other day, Satan's Little Helper, kind of getting in the Halloween spirit. I think you've talked about it before.
I don't think I saw that one, no.
I mean, it kind of gets you in the Halloween mood because it's on Halloween night and the whole fall thing. But you know what? It's not just cheesy. It's just weird. You know, the way they write the characters, they're all just so stupid. Like the little boy basically likes this video game and, where Satan goes around doing whatever. And so then he actually meets someone who has the costume on from the video game. And so he doesn't realize that this person is a serial killer and what he's actually doing is really killing people. So this little kid, probably like 9 or 10, really thinks that it's just all pranks and all jokes. So it's an interesting premise, but they made the characters just way too stupid. I mean, I know the cheesiness and everything, but it's not even that. It's kind of like, come on, make it a little different. Make it relatable characters. They didn't do that.
Horror movies have really changed since, the good old days of a lot of the movies that we've been talking about today during, the breaks, all of our bumper music. It's been a while. I think the only movie that I really loved this year in terms of horror was Wolf Creek 2.
Okay.
But, most of the other movies, even the ones I talked about today, some of them were okay, but none of them were great. Out of all the horror movies I said today, I would definitely check out Exists, again, playing at Arizona Center.
Yeah.
Also Leprechaun Origins on video on demand and DVD. Yeah. Check that one out. Of course, we've been celebrating Ouija.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Now, Joseph, do you have around Halloween time that one specific horror movie or show that you have to watch, like a tradition?
Every year, no, I don't. I don't. Yeah. Oh, okay. If I did pick one, it would be Jeepers Creepers.
Jeepers Creepers. Yeah, okay. I think that original Halloween, you have to watch. I mean, it's just so good. You could see over and you can't see over and over again in a row, but each year, if you save it Halloween time, a week before, a few days before, it's just fantastic, the whole mystery behind it.
Well, and we're not done yet, because next week, it's our holiday preview.
Yeah.
We're also calling it It's our holiday preview, or don't fear the Christmas creep show, because there's you know, Christmas is coming up, but there are a lot of Halloween leftovers. We'll be talking about a lot of other horror movies next week, but we're going to see. It's going to be an interesting show. That's all I've got to say. A lot of surprises, so you're going to want to stay tuned. And of course, you mentioned Saw earlier. That's the song that's going to take us out of the show. Is the theme from Saw. That's my favorite horror theme of all time.
Really,
the song from Saw. It gets me in the mood.
Until
you know,
we hear it, I have no idea
what
it is.
It in
I
a moment.
Forget.
I think we're approaching it.
When our producer gets back.
If we hear any of it.
We
sure.
have a little time. Yeah, wow. There he is.
Yeah, so we're going to hear the theme song to Saw, my favorite theme of all time, a horror theme. But the you mentioned Saw. They are this is the anniversary. I think it's a 10-year anniversary for Saw.
Wow.
They are going to start making a new one. So perhaps next year, the year after, we will finally see a new version of Saw.
Wow, fantastic. Well, this has been Breakthrough Entertainment. And
Breakthrough Entertainment's
course,
Halloween special.
Yeah, Halloween special. Of course, stay tuned. Real Hockey Talk coming up, and then Breakthrough Sports. And enjoy the theme to Saw going into break. And have a great Halloween.
Yes, everyone, happy Halloween. Share your pictures on our Facebook page. Go to breakradioshow.com. We want to see them.
Absolutely. Have a good time.